We've made it.
Welcome back to
From Under the Bed.
From Under the Bed.
We've made it to the titular. How do you titular?
Titular.
Is that how you say that word?
That's a word.
It's got to be, right?
I've heard.
I read it all the time, and I feel like I hear it.
Titillating.
Too.
That's a word.
Tantalizing.
Tantalizing.
We've made it to the movie that honestly I can't say that it like specifically. Like led right, yeah, like led into our naming of the podcast. But immediately once we came up with From Under the Bed, we both were like, don't look under the bed.
Don't look under the bed.
That's the movie that we are covering today, folks.
Guys, I'm Stevie.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is Sarah.
And we are under the bed. Don't look there, but also look because we're there.
We're always under the bed.
That's true. Or we're like.
I don't even know what you just said.
We're always under the bed.
Oh, okay. I think you said something else after that, and I'm like.
What? Nah, I just did my gremlin laugh. Or a boogeyman laugh.
That is true.
You see what I'm
that
saying?
Is what they
you see
do.
What I'm saying? This movie, oh my goodness.
This was, okay.
Something special, dare I say.
This was my favorite Disney Channel original movie.
No one talks about it.
Okay. I feel like, I don't know if it's forgotten because I think about it all the time. And I watch it.
It's what I More think of when I think of the original, like, the DCOMs that were before we were, like, in even, like, late elementary school or middle. Like, this is when, obviously, Under Wraps was, wait, that's how you say, yeah, Under Wraps was the first one. And then, like, around the same time, like, we obviously looked up the specifics because, like, 1999 was when everything, like, dropped, like, all these ones.
Yeah.
This one. And then, like, Phantom of the Megaplex, like, all of these ones that it's, like, people are, like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Or, oh, my gosh, I lost that. And I'm like, how, though? Because I understand it's that just, happens. There's movies like that we have. But, like,
yeah.
This was, like, formative. Like, I don't know.
This movie still is, like, one of my favorite movies. Like, so I love it so much.
And I had not seen it in a long time. So that was a thrill.
So when we rewatched it.
Oh, my God.
We were, like.
It was great because there was parts I obviously I knew a lot of it, but then like a lot of the ending, I remembered a bit more like after it was over. I was like, you know what? I do remember that being the conclusion. Like I kind of knew where it was going. I knew what that, but like there was some stuff where I was like, wait a minute. And it was just, it's a thrill. And it's just like, I don't want to say they don't make them this way anymore, but like they genuinely, they themselves would tell you they don't. Because it was very much more mature. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that they...
They said it was the last PG movie that they did.
And I think
the last horror Disney Channel original.
It was the second one rated... Or it was the first or second one rated?
It was the second one rated PG.
Second one rated PG because what did we learn was the first one?
There's only
A Can
two.
Of Worms was the first one, right?
Can of Worms it was?
Wasn't that when I looked it up? I thought so.
I don't remember because I never watched Can of Worms.
That's the one where it's like an alien thing. I remember that one had a lovely quote though because he's like, the rest of the world looks down when they're in dismay, but you looked up to the sky. And I was like, that's so lovely. We cover Can of Worms. That was a random one though. I remember when that would come on, I'd be like, what's happening?
I've never seen that one.
It was random. It was kind of like, I don't know. I don't even remember who is in it, like if there's someone we would recognize.
But I feel like that sounds more like, Are You Afraid of the Dark? Like,
yeah, it's kind of that vibe. Reminds me of that vibe. But this one, remember we read also that around 2006, which sounds about right, because I feel like that's when, like, our, like, age range collectively started, like, had a reset with DCOMs. It was like, okay, High School Musical came out. Everything was kind of changing. Mm-hmm. But at that time, they stopped showing Don't Look Under the Bed on their, Halloween rotation.
Which is crazy. Because
it was like, parents were like, this is too scary.
Yeah, but you said that, and I was like, I've seen this movie so many times growing up.
You and probably so watched it so much in that that time that it's like you thought that you watched it throughout all of your adolescence. You're like, that was every Halloween. But I mean, I get it too. It sucks. I wish there was another space for it. Like I wish they just moved it to ABC Family, which is what I honestly feel like they kind of did that, or they used to do that with Hocus Pocus until they like edited it to make it less like grown up-y. Mm-hmm. There's like parts of there's different versions of it. Mm-hmm. But like, I feel like this one is not, I don't know, it's spooky, but like then it's not.
It's so good, and it covers so many, like, themes that you're just like, whoa. Like, that's really real. It reminds me almost of, like, Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, gosh,
because, like, where they deal with that stuff. And I don't know why specifically Lilo and Stitch. But I think of that because you're just like, this is this Disney fun movie.
Kind of thing.
And but then you're like, and she might lose her
sister. You know what?
And they might go into the foster system.
I was
and they
literally
might...
thinking of the past that she has, like, with her parents. And, like, you are right. I forgot. Like, literally the fact that she's having to deal with, like, getting approved by, like, the social worker to be a guardian. I'm like, that's such heavy stuff.
It's a lot. And then we're like, aliens.
And literally, they're
which
like,
is
they
literally
were
like
fun.
This, where it's like, oh, and the and like imaginary friends.
And also your brother was sick, and it's like, what? And like a real fear that they're all.
It's so.
It did feel very
And they were just okay. I just feel like it was well acted.
Mm-hmm.
The story was great, and maybe they don't make them like. Or like the other DCOMs sometimes I felt like I feel like DCOMs had good actors.
There's like there's just so many different versions of them too. Like there's just different tones and stuff, and this one kind of balanced that tone of kind of like goofy silly but also kind of fantastical. And it also, the thing that always is a clear-cut sign of a DCOM to me, like for any made for TV kind of movie, it's like it feels like so much. That's one thing. I was going to bring this up way later, but it's not really a critique or anything. It's more so just like an observation that with DCOMs and these kind of things, like it feels like there's so much buildup and lead up to the climax usually for DCOMs. And like the third act is usually always so short, which we kind of feel like we're going to talk about too when we talk about our second feature for DCOMs.
Oh,
because it's like always these things where it's like it builds up to something. And it's not to say that the third act isn't good. It's just that it always feels like it's so short because like they're already taking up however much time like this made for TV movie can take up. But I feel like this one, even though it felt longer, like I was kind of surprised because I was like, they do always have a lot of build up and less like big moments happening and then a third act that's like like whoa. But I feel like this one, like I felt like the third act lasted for a while and it didn't just feel like all of a sudden it was like, well, they did, oh, ooh, here we're done. Like it was like, oh, like it's still a relatively short film, right? Like how long is it? Dare we check?
Hold on.
Let us see.
Okay, this actually is an hour and 40 minutes.
That's which longer. For a DCOM, okay, that's longer. I thought it was gonna.
I feel like they're usually like.
So maybe it was. Maybe because it's older, and maybe because it was.
Maybe I mean I guess we can check. Maybe it just feels that way, like they were shorter. But
I don't know how long the other ones are either. But I do feel like they used to run into that, and it's not because it's like bad. It's just because like I noticed the difference of just like. Oh, wow. They really just kind of like wrap it up quick because you can't really have like, I don't know. But this one, it did feel like the climax went
this
on for
one,
a while.
It took its time.
Yeah.
And then
it still gives the deserved amount of time to the,
the
resolution
ending.
And stuff.
And then they also had like a little part after you think, okay, it's over. And then they still show more. And
yeah. Because honestly, you could have seen them almost end it after the like main battle situation. I could have seen them trying to do that, but instead we get more. So it's like,
I feel like a lot of time at the end, they'll be like, this whole thing happened. And then they'll be like, and then it ends. And then it's like next day back to school. You know what I mean? But this one didn't end like that. It ended like almost like a real moment.
Yeah. And then they have like a real like character end of the arc for the characters. And there's some, I mean, with any movie we always talk about, I feel like there's always stuff that we're like, oh, I wish we had shown this. But that's us always constantly
this
being like, I could use thousands more. I could watch sequels upon sequels of just anything.
This movie's perfect to me.
Yeah, it's so good. So good. We have to discuss the Larry of it all.
Okay.
Are you ready, Stevie?
This is my time for Crush Corner.
Here we go.
It's finally get in the corner. My time.
She's been in the corner.
crush. I don't remember corner. What our song was, but I always
do the Paramore, like crush.
Oh. I was in love with Larry,
okay,
and his name was also Larry and even Stevens, and he wasn't the same, but I was still
but
in love with him.
Literally, I remember thinking this man's name was just Larry.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, well.
It's Ty Hodges. But then he used to go by something else.
Oh,
Eric,
yeah. Wasn't it Eric?
Like,
quote,
Hodges.
Ty, you know,
Ty.
Hodges.
Yeah.
But also, oh my gosh. But it's just so funny because I think of him in this and he looks so much, like in my head, they looked the same. Like he looked the same here and in Even Stevens, but he definitely looks a bit more
older
grown
in
Even
Stevens.
Because when he does his singing, when he does his whole like, what's the matter with Ren song? Go off. He was the talent that exuded from this, that still does. He's in, listen.
I loved him so much. And I'm like, we were just looking up his Instagram the other day and he had a reunion.
Ugh, that was so
with
cute.
With Aaron, aka Fran.
Fran! Francis Bacon.
Francis Bacon? What were the brother and sister?
Oh, yeah. So this is so funny because
Darwin and
And Al. It's, yeah, it's like Albert, and he went by Bert, though, and it wasn't until like a little bit later.
Oh, he went by Bert.
Yeah, and Al. You were like, oh my gosh, the names are literally, because their dad is, they're basically into this kind of like.
Yeah, their dad is like into like.
Is he an engineer? He's something.
Something, he likes weather.
Yeah, okay, that's right. But we're like, it's so funny because when the kid's name is Darwin, like obviously I'm like, oh yeah, like Charles Darwin. But in my head, I'm like, well, it's like the Darwin from the.
Wild Thornberry.
Yeah, Wild Thornberry. Who's named after Charles Darwin. But I'm like, you know, it's just a fun name as well. And then I'm like, wait, she's literally Frances Bacon. That's what she's named after. Such a cute, that's actually really cute that they're like, because it kind of just goes, especially because, well, if I was Albert, I would have gone by Al.
Yeah, and if I was Frances, I would have gone by Frankie.
Yeah, that would have been really cute.
Well, I used to not like her name when I was a kid. I was like, why is her name?
I always thought it added more to her seeming like a grown up. Like it aged her more. So it's kind of funny. I wonder if that like kind of went with it. Like she's like, it's Fran.
Yeah, because she's definitely like, I have to be an adult.
Yeah. It has Peter Pan vibes, but also not because Wendy didn't want to be an adult. Yeah. But like, you know.
She just was put in that role.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
kind of is like Fran.
Kind of, right? Except she's more like open to it. Yeah. Where she's like, that's fine, that's fine. And then it's like, wait, it's not fine.
She's like, this is what I need to do.
But what a fun. That was like such a cute tidbit to realize. And it's like, wait a minute. Which, as we discussed, Fran and Darwin have a more significant role. Well, obviously, Fran does. But, like, Albert's, like, or Bert is there. He's, like, and I didn't realize he was older. I thought, for some reason, Fran. I think it's just because she looked taller. Yeah, but she's middle because they make a point. So, like, I mean, do we want to get it? Wait, what do we – we'll get into this, I guess. Because what do we want to – do we want to talk about the summary first? What you want to
– I guess we can just say what it's a – yeah, I guess I can give a summary. Do your but reading. Also, I just need to say one more time.
Oh yeah, wait.
How much I loved Larry.
Well, finish your no. Talk more about your corner.
I don't know what else I have to say about it except for that. Like, I just felt like he was like my first crush because I was 7.
And it added to you like wanting to continuously watch this film. Yeah. Like you were like,
I wanted to watch this all the time.
Okay, but also you're gonna be bringing up Larry throughout this whole thing.
Yeah, Larry. Okay, I was always obsessed with like imaginary friend stories also. Mm-hmm. And so like I just think there's, I don't know if this is what started that or what, or like if I've just like if there was another reason I was in love with imaginary
friends. Stevie and I share the love of Nadine from Arthur.
And Nadine, maybe she was the reason, because honestly, you're definitely younger watching Arthur.
Yeah.
That she was so cool.
Nadine DW's imaginary friend on Arthur was it. Like I was far past having imaginary friends and I was like, well, she's my imaginary friend now.
Yeah,
like I would just draw her. She like I would so do cool. I had a drawing, like a comic that I would make as a kid, and I included Nadine, me, and a horse, and then like a lizard, and it was like a like almost
a lizard.
Yeah, it was like a, I think it was a lizard, or and then Spyro, like a version of Spyro. And I had it be like this, literally it's like I had my own web comic, and it's like literally just other IPs. It was like, but I would just draw them in like little adventures that we'd go on together. And I remember my dad was like, this looks so good. And he's like, who did you create here? And I'm like, that's from Arthur. And he's like, well, you drew her though. Yay. And I'm like, and he's like, and the adventure's yours. Like,
you're so creative. Right.
And he's like, the adventure. And you're like,
dad,
I was like, so this is from the show. And he's like, but it's your adventure. And I'm like, that's true. So you know what? It's
my mom would have been like that too, where she's like, I'm very supportive.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know.
It's like, listen, you create that. But this is how we are now, where it's like, even as kids, every kid does that. And I feel like now we're just like, well, now we just put our own OCs in these kind of things, like our original characters. Like that's how creative people work. Yeah. My dad's like, you see?
Well, you have to, I always think of what John Green said, where he's like, if you want to be a writer, you have to be a reader.
You see?
You got to intake things to act like, I was going to say
it's
export.
Like, it's kind of like things. The whole fan fiction of it all. Like even just that was like a version of fan fiction where I'm taking all these original other characters. One of some of them were original characters, but like the other ones, and just being like, anyway, this is how I think they'd react in this environment.
I feel like that's normal. I feel like a lot of people write fan fiction growing up and don't label it that.
Exactly.
Because we're literally just
you're
like,
taking what you see and you like, and then you're like, I'm putting it in my own adventure with an archetype that is like very much like already formulated. And then when you get older or more learning more creative stuff, like you're kind of like, oh, now I can put my own push on or my own take
spin
on this
on it.
Yeah, your own stuff with your own OCs and own characters and stuff. But I think that's so funny because honestly we were just like so drawn to Nadine's design.
She was so cool. Her hair, she had like white
whirled
hair
into place, like
her
she was
little
just,
blue dress. Yeah. Oh, which we want to cosplay them
honestly. So we'll be W and Nadine somewhere because it was just such a vibe. Oh, so good.
A stick? A stick please. From the park that you brought to take me to.
I can't. What a good. Anywho.
I love Arthur. Anyway, yeah, so that's my love of Larry, and I'm going to continue to talk about it. No, and he was adorable. Please, and please. I'm still in love with him to this day. He's 11 years older than me.
Hey, listen.
And tag him 10 and a half. Okay, we're going to tag him. Ty, hello.
We love you. You're great. Stevie's he's like, carried a heart. Like, I don't even know if he's like married. Carried a torch for you this entire time. I love that term.
I know.
So lovely. I love that. What a great. So good.
I want to watch it again. Anyway.
Honestly, put it on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to go through. I'm going to give you a little synopsis in case you've never seen Don't Look Under the Bed. And if you were one of those kids who was like, it's too scary, because I met a lot of people who were like, I didn't like that one. I hated it. It was so scary. And you were saying, that you were like afraid of it. Mm-hmm. And it also you were afraid of, what was the other one?
Phantom of the Megaflex.
That one
used to just freak me out. Yeah. Now looking back, it's mostly just a few scenes. I loved it, but it was because that one's also like we're talking about like a slow.
Yeah, because when nothing happens
until the very end, and it's to me it was scary at the end when they would show certain scenes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I was also scared of Halloween Town's one scene where they're like in the theater.
Oh yeah,
but yeah. That was it's like that's that kind of vibe where I'm like anything that has one scene, like, I'd be like, well, now I'm gonna be on edge the whole movie.
You know, I know it's coming. No, but I feel that I also loved Phantom of the Megaplex, which, when I rewatched it as an adult, I was like,
you're like, not much. It's like they really did keep it kiddie until,
not much happens, but I guess
it feels like it's the setting of a teen horror slash film because it kind of is. And then instead, though, they keep it very like, what's happening? Nothing. But
nothing. Spoiler.
Everyone's fine.
And obviously, it's Phantom of the Opera themed.
Ugh,
but I think that this movie and Phantom of the Megaplex and Chucky, as we've talked about before, are the ones that, like, these actually for children, Chucky not, are the ones that, like, lifted me into or, like, pushed me into loving horror because I was like, this is the best and I want to see all of it. But also, like, I don't know. My mom loves it too, so maybe it's just in my blood.
I was
going to
say, I wasn't pushed. I was forcibly, like, shoved into the world of horror by my mother. But it's okay. I was fine. I could have gone away. I mean, I could have been like, I'm not watching this. But I was like, but I want to hang out.
She's like, okay, but I'm going to watch
this. She's like, well, I'm watching this. And I was like, but I. And she's like, okay. And so I'm like, it's that thing again where it's like nothing. Now I don't get scared as much, obviously, at stuff. But I used to just be very frightened and still be like, but this is a good story. And that's kind of with this one, too. Like, obviously, as an adult, very different take on it. But, like, it's just such a good story that, honestly, I'm like, I wish they could, if they needed to, for the sake of Disney Channel, I wish they could have edited. I don't even know what you would edit out.
It wasn't even the we'll talk about
the practical everything in
it and, like, what makes it so great. But I'm going to, okay, I'll do the synopsis then. Ready. This is the Google synopsis. Spooky tale about a no-nonsense teenager who refuses to believe in the supernatural until she's confronted with the boogeyman under her bed. When somebody starts to play destructive pranks in her neighborhood, the girl is framed as the culprit. But when she realizes that the root of her problem is the real boogeyman, she's forced to change her mind about the paranormal. Which, okay, we love turning somebody into a believer.
Right. That's like a really nicely written synopsis.
And also, I think somebody from the UK wrote it because they wrote neighbor with a U.
Whoa.
Neighborhood. And
that's a well-written thing because it's true. It's like first off, ridiculous that she gets blamed for stuff. I hate, like,
and then her parents are like, her teacher's like, you looked at me when my car was egged.
I can't. Was it you? So goofy, but so funny. Like, you know what? The whole start of this movie is kind of very cozy. I love that idea of just everyone. Anytime someone in real life and in movies and stuff, I remember this would happen all the time, and like not all the time, but in Archie comics, randomly, like they'd like something would happen in the middle of a night, right? And when you have to get woken up, and everyone's just forced out of their rooms in bed, and you just have to like deal with something at like 3 a.m. I just love that kind of story. I don't know. And so when this starts with them all, basically it starts with weird, spooky. Honestly, the beginning, I could see why kids would immediately turn off. It's spooky.
It's the hand, you keep seeing, and what you were saying, where you were like, this hand deserves awards.
Honestly, it's doing the work. It's the hand was putting in the work.
I'm wondering if it was Steve Valentine's actual hand, because he's the one who plays the boogeyman.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it was very, a lot. So I could see how if that came on at 8 and a kid's watching, they're like, turn it off. Like, that was me.
I'm like crawling in. I'm gonna watch this, and you're screaming. Like, anyways.
My mom's like, finally something good. My mom's like, put it on. Like,
something good to watch.
Something good. At least one of us does. I can't every
time. Again, I'm going to the nut shop where it's fun.
I'm going to Arby's where there's better food and cooler people. I don't know if it's in that order, but anyway,
what?
I can't remember. Is it cooler people? And remember how I was like, cooler food and better people.
Papa John's.
Better lenses, better pizza. No one's going to understand that. Anywho. Yeah, it starts with like a very creepy, like people are sleeping. We see Fran. The whole house is like, it's like almost like the Night Before Christmas vibes of just like, oh, it's quiet except for a freaky hand, which reminds me of the hand in Secret of Nim.
Another movie I have to watch.
We got to cover it. Honestly, yeah, it could count. It's because spooky. Then it's good. It's
that great. And like Labyrinth, even though.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, like we said. Anything remotely spooky.
You see? But it starts with that. We're seeing this vibe. Then everyone's, like, alarm goes off. And it's basically saying it's time to get up, a.k.a. like, it says, like, they think
time
it's...
time for school. They think it's 7.
They think it's 7 a.m. And so they're all getting up. And they're like, oh, like, the mom, it looks so good because it's like she stretches and it looks like
okay.
It's
we didn't shadow. Even talk about the mom.
She's flawless. I love her.
I want to be her style. And I want to marry her.
How do we dress like that? We need to dress like that. Her kind of PJs. We need to do that for the next one. It was
also today we did not even mention we're wearing pajamas.
We are from under the bed. It's a sleepover. It's always a sleepover vibe.
And also, yeah, don't look under the bed.
But also we're there. So, but yeah, she's flawless, but she's waking up. She's like, it's time. Like she's tired being like, please, it's time to get up, Fran. She's like, okay. They all go downstairs and like immediately they're like, why is it still dark out? Which immediately I'd be like, okay.
What happened?
Hello. Here? Like this the sun doesn't just not savings, come up. Yeah. Like if unless it's that. Yeah. And they're like, what? And the dad who's like obsessed with weather stuff is like, let me go check my stuff. And they're all, it's so cozy though, because they're all just like tired and forced to like eat at the table. And they're like, anyways. And we see the dynamic of like, that's where I thought that Fran was like the oldest, but she's the middle child. Mm-hmm. And the older brother is just very like.
He reminds me, I don't know why he's reminding me of, even though he's not like him at all, the brother from Vegas Vacation.
Oh, that's funny.
Where I'm like, he kind of looks like him, but like.
He could have that look, but his vibe is very, his vibe is very just like, ugh, like he
he's
doesn't.
Like, whatever. He genuinely. I think he's the cool kid in high school. Yeah,
because her friend later on is saying, because Fran, we learn. Skipped a grade to basically, I think she might just be like 1 or 2 years younger than him, maybe mm-hmm. one, because she skipped a grade or maybe more, I don't know, but she was supposed to be like in eighth grade basically, and she skipped to be in
high
grade.
School,
so she's a year above, and her friend is like, that's so cool that you get to be in high school, and then she's like, you get to be where, like, not like that, but she's like saying, she's kind of hinting at being like, you get to be in high school like Bert is, and she's like, okay, she's like, and like you can tell her friend has a crush on her. On Fran's brother Bert, so
which she does tell her, and she's like, mm-hmm. and I'm like, how long were they best friends? And she's like, oh, but I guess she had never told anybody.
Might have changed, or maybe when he got older, she started.
She's
like,
now I have a crush. Side eye.
Yeah. I wish I was in high school.
And she's like, ew, Bert. Okay,
yeah,
whatever.
And just like, and he's just casually there. Yeah, but they do bicker, obviously, and like, and then we. I don't know how fast it is, but it's like takes a while. But then finally they're like, it's not 7 a.m. It's 4 a.m. And they're like, oh, my gosh. And so they're like, what happened? And so I don't know. Do they all go back to bed? They probably do.
Yeah, they go back to bed. They reset their clocks and then they wake up the next day. Yes. And what
then they go to school.
That is part of the prank that the boogeyman is playing on the whole town.
Yeah, come to find out. I think she finds out from her friend. She finds out from everybody she talks to.
She's doing like a thing where she goes around and she's like, can you guys give me your name and your number and your address and all the stuff so I can see like who was affected in what area and all this stuff.
And why did she start that? Just because?
Just because she was curious, I guess.
Doing like an experiment. Yeah. Being like, what happened? Like, what could cause this outage, basically, that caused everyone's alarm to go off?
It's basically, weird. Like which, odd. And then her English teacher's like, what are you doing? And then she's like, oh, I'm just doing this. And he's like, okay.
Because she asks him, she's like, did you have your alarm mm-hmm. off? And he's like, yeah.
How'd you know?
Yeah. And then she's like, oh, well, I'm just doing this. And he's like, he's like, why are you doing
he's
that?
He's like, huh, okay. Yeah. And then later they go outside and his whole, you can see the eggs are just falling from the sky onto his
like
convertible.
As if a cloud is above his convertible, open convertible. Which why did you leave it open?
I always wonder that. If you have like a convertible or a Jeep and you leave it open, how do you
prevent
not feel anxious? Because every time I see a Jeep, like the ones that go on they're
Wrangler,
just open.
Yeah, and I'm
the
just
Wrangler,
like,
and I'm like,
it looks fun, but I it's annoying because I would want to cover it up every time.
Yeah.
Especially because you don't know if it's going to rain. You don't know. Like if you park it somewhere
you
that's
not a garage.
You
must not leave anything in there.
That too. I guess not.
There's nothing in the glove
I've looked at some before. Oh,
I mean, you can lock them.
I guess. Yeah. How could there? Oh, there's a lock on it. But yeah, I never lock mine. But then that's because it's like, I lock them every time just to let anyone know who's listening. Okay.
I didn't know I could lock mine. I don't think mine locks anymore.
Yeah,
I think they used to.
Maybe not, because I'm thinking you'd have to get the key out of our like automatic thing to do it. But obviously our cars are locked. But I think with the ring, like with something like that, I think I've looked in them before. I've ridden in people's and they just don't leave something out unless it's like a newspaper, you know, a paper or something.
But at the same time, I'm like, somebody could just like,
I just think of the damage. I'm just like, yeah, or if it's raining, that, like, unless you're in a parked garage or something, it's like,
it's interesting.
Think about how, like, I guess that's why they have leather seats, but if you didn't, think about how like dirty just the dust and air, dirt from the air gets.
Because I don't even think those have those. Every time I see those, they look like fabric. But this guy, he left his open.
Full on thing.
And he was very proud of it because he came to school and he was like.
Parked right in front of the school. Parked right in the front. Which doesn't seem like a parking spot for a teacher, but go off.
And then he just. Yeah. And then all it gets egged by like.
Comes outside, it's just eggs. Covered in eggs completely. It doesn't even look like kids threw at it, like we said, it looks like it just dropped like it did. And he's like obviously upset, but everyone's just like looking at it like whoa. And then he looks over and sees Fran staring because she's like what, and he like immediately is like you did it was you. Like, and he didn't do that, but he looks at her like he looks at her like he's suspicious of her and like remembers her asking about the alarms. And I'm like
yeah, what? because he looks and she's like looking obviously because she's like what happened to your car, and he's like why are you, which that's happened to me before, like not to this extent, but sometimes like when something's like oh who did that, and then I would just be sitting there and I've seen not like even, when I was a kid
not registering,
and adults would be like
why are and you I'm just like, sitting there, I'm like what did you want me to do, it wasn't me,
and then I'm like, literally what? Just sitting here like what do you want,
and also
me?
It's weird, yeah, she's just like what, and like again he's like just side-eyeing her and I'm like hello, but also what was I going to say? Oh, she was in class this whole time.
Yeah.
Hello?
He was in her class.
Hello?
She was in his class.
Yeah. Like, did she orchestrate? Does he think she orchestrated this? Like, oh.
He's like, you had it out for me. What?
Yeah.
And which you're
also,
the one
who. Has she ever been? She's never been a bad student or disruptive student.
I guess she's
student.
New at the high school.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. Did because they say she that? Went from 8th to 9th.
Oh, duh. That's right. I was like, she lives there, though. But it's like, yeah, she's not. And maybe, and it's this thing where almost there's like this sense of doubt surrounding all of them where it's like is she actually ready for high school, like she's so smart and like advanced and that's why like they had her move up a grade, but maybe it's too soon. So it's almost like she's tugged between this world of them being like oh you need to be older, but they're also like, you're too young, and it's like
but they're not like
no they're not being like ridiculous about it, but I think the occurrences of the movie make them be like why are you acting
what
out
is happening,
like was this like, too soon, she's like I'm not acting out. Oh, but we didn't bring up that right before class. Because I guess the middle school is next to the high school?
Is it?
Maybe, because why did the friend walk with her there?
Yeah, they walked together.
And then they separated when they got up there.
And then
there.
She confessed her crush. And then...
And she's like, don't you dare tell him. And she's like, why would I tell him?
She's like, I literally don't care.
Yeah, she's like, I don't even want this to happen, but whatever. And then they see... She sees Larry, like, goofing off near, like, the mascot. He's on something, like, the rocks, basically, of the... Like, near the
like
campus,
somewhere,
you know?
She's like... clearly seeing him, and he's like,
and I love that she's not like like
she's not gonna be like
scared or being like why is there not just scared but but also being like who is that guy, like she's not even like weirded out, she's literally like huh, like look there's a person, what's he doing, like she's just like wow goofy,
she does that, and then she's also like she's like interested of like what?
But the very first time she's literally just like and then she's like there's a guy, you see him, and then like it the bell rings or something, so she's immediately like okay, and then she's like, oh, and then I guess she just assumed she didn't look over there. She didn't see her friend didn't see her, him or whatever. But she's like, okay. And I think it's right after, too, like after the egging happens and stuff. I don't know if that's
there's a moment where what you're going to say that she sees him again. Because there's a part that she sees him in the – they're in the cafeteria and he's like doing something.
Oh, yeah. That's
like,
later though, I think.
What you were going to say.
Oh, yeah. That we see the boogeyman. Like we see, honestly, that's what we kind of saw in the very beginning where he's like doing the alarms. We just didn't know it was really him. And then we also see that he's leaving like dog treats and stuff on the roofs of the neighborhood. So that's why it's so funny, because when they're first going to school, we see that there's just dogs, people's dogs on every roof, which we're like... realistically, but you know what, we'll take it
well, because when the principal goes home and he's like
oh yeah
what
he's
is
egged
today?
Covered in eggs and his dog's just still on the roof,
he's like and
which that's another thing too, they keep referencing stuff like from Fran's home when they're up at 4 a.m the mom is going to make breakfast and she's like wait, we had so many eggs and now they're gone, and they're just like oh I don't know,
and then like, that's when she's like well it wasn't me, and they're like
what is she supposed
suspicious
to do?
Suspicious of her?
Can she just exist? She's literally not a known prankster. No. She's literally an advanced student.
She hasn't in done high school anything now. Wrong.
At like all. It's like a valedictorian, them all just being like, it was you, wasn't it?
It was definitely you. What? And it wasn't your brother who clearly is would clearly have done
the goof one. Yeah. I mean, he's fine. He's but whatever. Like he's clearly like, yeah. the one. I mean, that sounds so
seems more like he would do.
Honestly,
it.
I would never assume it of any of them. Neither none of them are like delinquents being like, I'm the school prankster. Like, okay, you know, like what? But I don't know. They just are all so suspicious of her. And I'm like, okay. But yeah, we see that the dog thing is happening. We see that basically this boogeyman is like specifically doing things
that are around Fran,
yeah,
to make it seem like she's doing something. And like, then we see Larry like clearly sort of tailing what the boogeyman's doing slowly, yeah. And he's like on the roof, he mm-hmm. finds like all the egg cartons. And another thing about Larry is that like this is not relevant to this moment, but just that he's always wearing a different outfit,
yeah,
like it's always something yeah. different. Sometimes we were thinking of like it's him when you make believe.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes he'll be wearing a regular outfit. Sometimes he's like in a karate uniform. Sometimes he's an astronaut.
Mm-hmm. Or like a scuba diving situation. Yeah, that's what we were talking about, because it's like sometimes it just looks like a funky, fun outfit. And then other times it's like, wait, he's like literally on an adventure or yeah. something, or like in the and middle just, of a play or something.
I love it. And it's they never really cute. Like,
they don't address it really. It, no. But they're yeah. just kind of like, she's just like, what the heck? And he's like, anyway.
He's like I'm he's imaginary. Saying this other is what stuff. I do.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm here like, to have fun with right? children. Like,
I love that. But yeah, so she, I don't know if we see another thing happen. I think by the time she runs into him is like when they're on the way home. Like she's on the way home and she sees him and she's like, okay, hey. Mm-hmm. And he's like,
what? So you can see me?
Yeah. And she's like, yeah. Yes. And she like, for the most part,
she's very yeah. big on logic. So she's yes. like, it's only a logical explanation.
Oh my gosh. Her
like,
catchphrase.
That's her whole thing.
Her catchphrase like, is literally, there's a logical explanation yeah, for this.
For everything.
Yeah. And he's just like, what? So he's like, oh my gosh, you can see me. What? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, okay. And he doesn't like outright say like, I'm an imaginary friend.
No.
Right? Yeah.
He's just like, I don't know what he says, but then she turns around and he's gone. And she's
yeah,
like,
yeah. And she's like, okay. And then I think it's in the cafeteria.
In the cafeteria later. She's like, you again? And he's like, yeah, you're the only one who can see me. She's like, whatever. And then she stands on the
girl.
I don't know why. She's new there.
The last
too.
Thing I would ever do. I don't understand.
She stands on top of the table and is like, all right, what's this guy's deal? Like, yeah. He told me his name is Larry Houdini, which we didn't even mention.
Oh, yeah. Literally Houdini. I can't. Houdini. What a precious childlike thing. Like a name to give
it's
a character.
So,
so good. So good.
And then everyone's like,
which should have been enough proof for her that yeah. she's, although maybe she just thinks that they're like, girl, what? Bye. But I'm like, no one can see this man, obviously. And also she does narrate how weird things keep happening.
Yeah, she's narrating.
There's like a
throughout
off, like one of the guidance counselors or something, like his,
he gets attacked
there's
by bees
in his office. I forgot some of it's so is. ridiculous, like there's a pool that's the whole
oh
pool
my God.
Is filled, with, filled jello. With jello,
which they someone jumps into it, but I'm like, they didn't even use like green jello, they used orange.
I know, or like blue so jello or whatever, got, like they didn't even do yeah, any clear green, jello
anything
that would have been, it's literally like that. And like I'm like, this person just dove head first into yeah. it. It was like, well, I wonder what that is.
And also again, it was blue, like
the
right
most
before they
unrealist I can't, but it's like all replaced. There was something else where, like, there's water in the bus or something. There
oh,
was,
yeah.
Like,
they're
filled...
like, and, but the way she said it was, like, the bus had, like,
a leak or something.
And it's just, like...
The most supernatural looking things ever. Yeah. And everyone's like, well, one
it
child...
It must be Fran.
Fran did this. It's like, hello?
I don't know.
She's not even... cannot even be at all these places at once, nor has the resources, but whatever.
But when that day that she, like, stands on the table, that's the day, too, that the principal, like, calls her to his office. And that's when they have, like, an intervention. And all that had already happened. Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
She like stood on the table. She's like, hello. And then they're like,
so I guess they're kind of like, yeah, they're like concerned. Yeah. She immediately like gets off the table and like, can mm-hmm. you come to the office? Like yeah. what? And when she's there, doesn't Larry show up again?
Because she's there and they're all questioning her and they're like, what's going on? And you know, well, so she's yeah. like, I don't. But even her answers are just kind of like,
and then the
I
issue
don't know. There's got to be a
is that she goes. Yeah. There's still got to be a
logical explanation.
And they're like. And there's a time where she like leads them. She's like, "Wait, there he is!" And then she like leads
she
them
leaves.
Into
it's
a
then, yeah,
yeah into a music room, and he's in there. And she's like, "Don't you see him?" And they're like, "Girl,
so there's an issue."
Yeah, and they're like, at this point, I feel like they are thinking like she's having hallucinations,
and
Larry honestly is more serious than just being
yeah.
like they need to be like doing something.
Call the doctor.
Yeah,
but Larry's literally like, "I'm trying to tell you."
Like they can
they're not gonna see
me.
Like he's
me.
Not even trying to like
yeah
you know
her.
Make her look
he's
like
literally
an idiot.
Like girl.
And also when she's in there with the principal and the guidance counselor and her teacher and everyone, they're just like This is when they're asking her about her little brother. Who
they drop this out of nowhere. Yeah, they're basically, I mean, like, for us, it's out of nowhere. We're like, what?
Yeah, basically, like, her little brother had leukemia and he needed a bone marrow transplant, and her older brother was a match.
Well, they frame it really nicely because the guy is her teacher, maybe, or guidance counselor. One of them.
One of them's English teacher.
Yeah, but the woman is like, mm-hmm. So I feel like you might be acting out, not acting out, but doing something because of. I see here what that your happened? Little brother is like recovering from he's in the remission. And she's like, yeah. And she's like, but I've noticed that, you know, those who donate often feel this like sense that they've had to grow up too fast. And she's like, I didn't donate to him. And she's like, oh.
I think her mom was there at that point. She's like, okay. Oh, it actually wasn't her.
Oh, it's her talking to the mom. Brother. That's right.
But she was there too.
Okay. Fran. But either way, she's like, but Fran didn't donate to her. And it was our younger, our older, our oldest son, our eldest. And they're like, oh. And it's so funny because it like throws out the theory. That theory, but then it's also clearly something different.
It's still, it's just a whole other
And I just, it's so bad, or it's, I feel so bad because it's just like, oh, and they say that and I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
I know. And they also say that, I think, in front of her, and she's like, you know, like, why not sort of have that as an adult conversation? And
I then think be able she's to talk there, right?
I think she was.
Either way, though, but she is addressing the mom, though, and she says this, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's out of the room. I can't remember. But either way, it gets brought up to her that she obviously, it's like, hey, is this about your brother? It's like, no. And I don't know if she brings it up to Larry at some point or somebody.
Later.
Because then at this point, I don't know if they're at the library.
They do go. So he's outside, like. Because she talks to her brother at one point and he's like, have you seen my something? And she's like, no, like, can I have a minute? And he's like, you're in my room.
Oh, yeah. It's like when she's in.
She's
in
his room or whatever. And then he's like, I don't know. Like, all the kids said some guy named Larry was like playing with them. So she said something about Larry and she's like,
That's right.
She's like, did you see him? She's like, he said, no, I couldn't. Only the other kids could see
him. Yeah, the other kids could see him, but I couldn't. She's like, what? Okay. So it's like the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay. So she goes down. It's like like the jungle gyms or something.
Yeah, he's like on the monkey bars.
Probably like at a rec center area.
He's playing basketball.
Oh, okay. That's it. And it's like there, it's like near some type of rec center because I feel like it's near the library and stuff. Yeah. So it's like she goes down to like the city park or something. I don't know. And he's there. And yeah. And so she's just like, okay, like,
what's going on?
Yeah. Like, kids can see you. And he's literally like, do I need to spell this out for you? Like, I am spelling it out for you.
It's a logical explanation.
Literally. I know. He's so funny because he's like not mocking her, but he's kind of doing like a little bit of like a, okay, like, I know how your brain operates and you have to kind of let that go for this to be, you know what I mean?
And I love that this whole premise just runs on like imagination and being a kid. And he's just like, when you're a kid, it's like, yeah, that's obvious. It's like almost like the simplest answer is the answer of it doesn't make sense to you, but it makes perfect sense to a child.
Anytime a kid literally is telling you, like, and we can remember that ourselves where it would just be like, yeah, that's this. And it's like,
that makes sense.
Yeah. Like,
why wouldn't that make sense? And then an adult will be like, well, because of blah, blah, blah. And you're like, it's so easy for you to just know that that's
real. It's kind of that thing again. Remember, like, the biggest idea is, like, unless you can explain it to a child, it's like you're not able to understand it. So it's almost like when you – like, I know that's the opposite of, like, making something very complex childlike. But it's, like, kind of true where it's, like, you can just make anything be logical for a kid because you're just like, And it's like, well, okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, you don't need to get into the nitty-gritty of it. Like, I get it. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's just the purest form of anything. And it's also – it reminds me of manifestation stuff where you're just like, if you could just get into your – childhood form where anything is possible,
what you want will be
because you're like, you're not gonna feel like, oh my god, I could, that can never be. You're just like, well, it is, so it is. You're not like, that's impossible. It's like, but it is, it's happening.
Like, it's, you're like, but it's happening right now. I love that. But I don't know how he gets her to the library. How does he do that? Like, what do they
he's
go
out,
like, for?
Right outside the library. Oh, so they go into the library because he's like, I need to
I'm going to find a book. Yeah. Okay.
And so he goes in and he's like, why is it so bright? Like, he slowly, things are happening to Larry throughout the movie. And he's like, starts wearing these sunglasses and he's like, why is
which
it so
makes
bright
him
in
look
here?
So cool. But he's just like, he starts having like, he himself is like kind of going through it. Mm-hmm. But we're like, wait, are you okay? Because he's so cool and so like silly that we're just like, what? And he'll just be like, literally turns into Gojo. I'm oversensitized. Like, I can't see. Put on some glasses. So he's like, anyway.
She's like, people read in here. Of course.
Literally.
Also, the way that the librarian.
The way they are just talking, okay?
They're normally
there's
having
a class going on. Like a library-led, like a librarian-led children's
5-year olds
thing.
Watching a VHS,
a full on VHS, okay, with a person there, like a mentor. I don't know who was there.
I don't
with
think
them.
Anyone was there.
Someone
it
was
like
and then they
the
left.
Screen.
I thought someone was sitting next to them when they got up. But either way, clearly led by the library. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, they put it there.
Like, hello,
it was like a
it's literally
section.
Like a something like television time,
and it
or
wasn't
something.
In a room. Like, it was in the middle of the library. What is this, silent library?
And
it's
this
literally like that.
Librarian is over here. Like, anyway. Like, or she hears them talking and she's like, shh, shh. And I'm like, there's a full-on movie theater in this library. So it just bugged me because anyway, it's like that typical. I do feel like it was very much of its time. We're in the 90s and early 2000s. That was the one joke that could be made about libraries. Still is. Obviously, everyone literally is like, shh.
And then Larry starts to play with the kids because they start to see him. And he's like, oh, obviously, I'm going to play with the kids and make them like, you know, happy. And then
he goes into the TV
and he also turns into he starts mocking the librarian,
but it's so precious. And the whole time he's obviously accomplishing, like, he's trying to get that book and he pulls it out and it's like a book about imaginary,
it's called like Book El Boogie or something.
Yeah,
like,
and it's basically they're reading it on the way home too, because
there's another thing, because the reason they go there is because Larry's like, she's like, what are you doing here? He's like, because the man in my head told me to come here.
Oh, he does keep
and she's like,
that.
What are you talking about? And he's
okay,
like, okay, we're
going
to look at this
what?
Book.
Do they address what?
Yeah, because
is?
When they go, I mean, no, because they go to the library.
Literally the audio, the voices, literally.
But when they go, the book's like, for Larry by Guy N. Head, like N. Head. He's like, see, this is for me. And he's like, she's like, what?
They just do not reference that half the people in this movie are like, anyway, I see something I don't, no one else can see. I hear something no one else can see. And they're just like,
he's basically
fine.
Like, what?
It's
kind of like the angels in Supernatural. They're like, huh?
I guess so. Okay, because he goes there and he's like, that's good. And she's like, so it's like someone, the guy in his head is warning him, like, hey, you need to check this out because.
Yeah, I guess it's supposed to be, they never say, like, if it's like God.
It's like the Fairly Odd Parents, like the head
bigger,
of the like organization.
It's just like,
I know. I'm like, is it like,
like
God is over there, like,
presence.
Anyway, just go over here because something bad's happening to you. So he finds the book and he's like very chill about it, but they're both reading
Fairly
it.
Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah. I'm like,
it literally is. They're
the
like,
head
this
of the,
is right. Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're like, so they, they're looking at it and it's basically implied, like, that's when they learn, right? That, like, imaginary friends, when the child no longer believes, right? In the imaginary.
They
is that when they learn
from
it?
That book, but not at that moment.
Oh,
she, like,
okay.
She learns
so what is she
else.
Looking? She looks at it and she's like, this is like a transformation. Like,
so in there, because he's like.
No, they just look
well,
at it and see the boogeyman stuff.
The boogeyman
and they're
stuff,
basically like, that's what's
get,
happening
yeah, and he's
to our
like,
town.
How
that's
we,
what they learn.
Because he knows that already.
Right, right. But she's over there like, oh my gosh, are you trying to tell me that the boogeyman is like real or something? And he's like, yeah, that's what's going on.
Well, the reason he gets the book too is because there's a contraption that he has to make to get rid of
the boogeyman.
So he's like, this isn't on the book, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then
he's basically trying to convince her that a boogeyman is what's causing the, which honestly at this point, of course I'd believe this.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
she
a
still
pool
doesn't.
Fill of Jell-O. Yeah.
And there's a man no
although,
one else can
did
see.
She, true.
Except for children.
Although did she even, I guess if I didn't see all of these crazy occurrences, but why is the people that it's all happening
she sees
to?
The dogs on the roof.
Well, I mean, like, the
she
person that had
the
water come out and the Jell-O. Why have they not formed a little bond of, like, hello, or
no,
this happened to us?
They have, and they're like, it's this teenage girl.
Truly,
it's this 13-year-old girl.
Ridiculous. But, yeah, they're, so he's, like, they're like, okay, well, we got to make this contraption, basically.
Okay, so also, she comes home at one point, still with Larry, and then every time she'll have a conversation with him, she'll turn around and she'll be like, yeah, and then he'll be gone.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
And then she comes home and her friend runs by and she's like, how could you? And
oh,
she's
yes.
there and she's like, what? And then there's in flowers, it says in the grass. Okay, she would have had to planted that one.
Literally
it
had
says,
to do an entire gardening like
Joe Hart's Bert.
Yeah. And so she's like, you promised you wouldn't say anything. And I'm like,
she's like, I didn't.
Which honestly though, we're like, that does suck because
she's
she was
the
one,
one
that knew. Like
yeah.
that's like unless she told some one person and that person did it. But it
which
looks,
was her.
Yeah. You see. But I meant like if
yeah,
if Joe, Fran told
if Fran
someone
told
else.
Somebody,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It would be bad. No, it's bad either way. Because I'm like, maybe she told Bert. And Bert, why would Bert do that?
Yeah, why would Bert do that?
I can't.
Unless
handle.
he's like,
hey, I'm into you too, yeah, or something.
Know.
I don't know. Although,
don't...
what he should have done, Bert hurts. We're acting as if he likes her. Anyway, like,
but he's so in the background.
He's
like
so in the background. It's so funny. Like he has a significant role in this too, with like the whole with everything about the sibling dynamic, and we're like, anyway, but Bert's there, and we're like, what? But he's a part of this. Like, hello, hello.
He's part of this.
Okay. He's a part of this thing. But yeah, he. So then she comes in. She's like, okay, I'm gonna have to deal with that later, obviously. And then, we hear something else happens. It's like at that night. Remember when they're on the roof? And she doesn't see the boogeyman?
I think that's later.
Is that later? Okay, wait. Because you guide into the next part then, because I clearly...
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll do
that. I clearly forgot. Okay.
Yeah. So wait, then... Then Larry is like, all right, I'm going to start making this machine. And this is all the stuff you need. And it's, like, ridiculous, right? There's, like, nails and, like, gym socks and, like, all this stuff. And the machine needs... She's like... He's like, I need this vacuum. And she's like, that's Dad's vacuum. And then... There is that weird sexist comment because remember how, okay, throughout we see the parents talking and their mom is so great.
I love her.
Okay. She's a sociologist and then the dad does something that has to do with science, but
weather and stuff. Weather. Yeah.
But they keep talking the whole time and they're just, she's like, we need to help Fran. Like, can you just, and her dad is like angry all
the time.
He seems
like such like a like space cadet, it's but then also strange. Targets only a certain, like he is literally like, what's happening? What's happening? And then all of a sudden he's like, well, Fran, and it's like, why are you upset? You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah. He's like,
you don't even know.
Why is she? And she's like, can you relax?
Is it him that makes the conversation?
Can we have moment to like.
Take a
help
minute,
our daughter.
But only a minute.
But
like,
only a minute.
Is she the one that makes the comment, but out of genuine concern, where she's like, "Did we go too fast?"
Yeah, because they're in the living room at one point. Mm-hmm. It's just them two. She's like, maybe she wasn't ready for high school. And then her brother Bert comes in, and he's like, "Yeah, everyone's saying that like she's the mastermind."
I can't.
This.
That's
and
like his like, one main role is like just being like, "Anyway, yeah, he everyone is talking about that." She's like, "What?"
But yeah, that's happening throughout, and their dad like cooks and cleans and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there's that weird sexist comment that he was like,
"Your dad vacuums or something
like
that."
Your dad does the vacuuming too. This is unbelievable. And I'm like, what?
And we're like, what was that supposed to be? Like, I mean, it was, but also
it was weird.
It was weird because I'm like, it's not even like he's a stay at home. Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It's so random. I'm like,
it was weird because they didn't make any. They just were like, oh yeah, he's the one.
It didn't
cooks.
Even have like a punchline. Like,
it was just being like,
yeah,
he cooks and he cleans.
And it's like, and he's so a man. Then, yeah, like, what is he?
And it's like,
how is this possible? How can he do this?
That's my one critique. Of
yeah,
this movie.
That's like a writing issue. Of like, why did they include that?
What is that?
It's not even funny to kids. What's the point?
It's not, like, and it also didn't.
And adults would be
come
like,
up again.
Okay, like it's not even like yeah. I'm like, and also from when this came out, that's like not even a relevant joke. Like at that time in 1999, the joke would have been a joke, and then it would have been resolved by the end, being like, yeah, a guy. Like it would have. We had progressed past that by then. That wouldn't have been something
that weird.
That they maybe they had something that they cut where he finally is like. Or someone's like, yeah, that's what you... I don't know. It felt like something that there was another piece to it that they should have.
But because she's like, oh, I need the... He needed the vacuum for the machine. And
yeah,
it was going to like mess up
it's
the
like
whole
the
thing.
It's like the main core of
it's
the
like
machine.
The main
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it is the machine.
And again...
Which honestly, I just clicked this. This is not... I feel like there's something... I remember... This is not the same thing, but I'm like... I remember whenever I babysat these kids when I was in high school, their mom had like a... Like a boogeyman spray, basically, like for nightmares, like spray under the bed, right?
That's
and it was like,
cute.
That's cute. I was like, oh my gosh, that's such a cute idea. I would steal if I like had kids or if I knew other like parents having
or
an issue.
Babysitting
yeah,
anybody.
Where it's like they were basically like, it was not just specifically boogeyman, but basically monsters under the bed where you're just kind of like, just spray it. And it's like, look, it's monster be gone spray. And they're like, okay, I can go to bed now.
Yeah.
And so we would do that every night before they went to bed. And I was like, that's so cute. But I thought of that where I'm like, isn't there something, maybe I'm thinking of a vacuum being bad actually, but I'm thinking of like, there was some kind of movie where
isn't that Monsters Inc?
Is that
where
it?
He like sucks?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking
to suck
of that.
The screams
but
out.
I'm also just thinking of like vacuuming under the bed and it being like, oh look, I vacuumed
you
up the monsters. You know what I mean?
What I was gonna bring up when we were talking later about under the bed is that Winnie the Pooh episode that we always talk about where they like go under there and I feel like was a vacuum involved.
I feel like that's always something where it's like
there's
a mess under the bed.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
What
or at least is what I'm thinking about.
Yeah,
I also think about this is that Rugrats episode with the dust bunnies.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of that.
And then they can't like go on the carpet because they're like the dust bunnies are in there and they have like a hole and there's
like
a vacuum.
You know, I'm probably also thinking of that Disney
that's
show at midnight that came out that was like about that green character guy and
it's
he
called
had,
at midnight
yeah is that what it, no
no I'm at
is that you were saying that
is it's that
like,
what
it was called something like midnight something where it was like this green monster and then like hold on. Now I'll have to look it up later because I don't want to like interrupt us. But like, it was this thing, and it was like basically, oh, Bump in the Night is what it was called. Do you remember that?
With Emily Osment?
No, it was like a cartoon. It's like a CGI. Hold on, look at this. I'll show you this. Hold on, because I can, now that I know the name, it's Bump in the Night. Let me show you.
I
don't think
I've seen that, but I definitely sound. I know
it,
the
like,
name.
It like came on, yeah, and it had. It was like a animated thing. This thing, and it freaked me out. Hold on. Well, if, oh my god. It was so freaky because it would. I hated. Yeah, wait. Look.
See,
look
at I don't this. Think you can Hold see on. It. You can't. No, see I'll put it on the screen.
Yeah, you'll put it on the screen. I'll put it on the screen. And basically, there's a, you're gonna have to put in. I'll send you the picture of it. Yeah. There's a part where they like. Basically, it's just anything that happens at night. And like, ooh, they just come out and he's like, ooh, a little monster. Yeah. And it's cute.
It's a series.
Yeah. It's a series. And there was one episode where he comes out at night and they go into the fridge and the chicken that they're the people who live there are going to cook, it comes alive or something. And it's like a raw chicken that he rides. And that stayed in my memory. I'm going to put, we'll put up an image
anytime
of it.
Anytime there's a raw chicken that's like kind of alive,
he,
I don't like that.
Yeah. He, and it's like, okay, that's not Han. Now I got to find a photo of this. Right? Because if I can see the chicken, his name was Bumpy. So he like was a boogeyman.
Literally, this is all I'm seeing in the corner this whole time. Wait for it, wait for it. Can you even see?
I stop. You, that's so traumatic. Like, no, I can see it on there, that. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can't. All I see is Larry being a boogeyman.
We're like, anyways.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, except we can't. I guess we can.
The show.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, Bump in the Night. I don't know why I brought it up. Why did I bring it up?
Because the vacuum.
Oh yeah, that I feel like there was a thing to like. There's always something about the bed under the bed being like. Like there was an episode of that where like they go under the bed and there's like a sock. There's always a dirty sock. There's always something messy under the bed and it's causing problems. And I feel like a vacuum is always the solution. Like it's just like anyway.
Yeah, like, or it's like ruining everything and then things get sucked into the
maybe
vacuum.
Maybe that too. It's like anytime you get shrunk, a vacuum is the villain.
Maybe we're thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Honestly, maybe. But I'm going to look up the Bump in the Night episode because I swear there's a thing where there's a sock and it's like a problem. It's this movie. It's just this movie.
It's
that
just
I'm thinking
actually.
Of. Yeah.
Don't look into it.
But anyway, yeah. But so yes. I just think it's funny that it is a vacuum that ends up being the machine.
Like
the
core
machine.
Yeah. Of this machine. And so Larry's just making it in the. He's making it in their garage. Something happens where it explodes and it's disgusting.
And
it's
he's like once again in his like shit. Doctor uniform. Like he's always
he's
wearing
like mad scientist.
Yeah, mad scientist kind of situation. I'm like, ugh. We also see that his nails look funny. Isn't it out there
yeah,
in the garage?
So,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So. Like all throughout this movie, things are happening to Larry, like we mm-hmm. said. And at this part, yeah, his nails are turning like into
and
the
she's like,
long
what?
Boogeyman
yeah.
thing. But she doesn't know that.
Didn't she see
She doesn't
them?
Know what's
oh,
happening.
He, okay, she's just kind of
like, what is going on?
Honestly, it's
with
just,
your
she's
nails?
Like, something's going on with you. And she's just like,
and he's
par
like,
for the course, like, whatever. Everything's just happening. Everything
he's
is weird.
Like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
it's
plays
fine.
It down, kind of.
And then,
so then when they're in the bathroom.
Yeah,
right,
she
yeah.
comes. He comes through the mirror, which was just a cool. Again, the practical effects
you
in this movie.
The hands
were really great.
Carried. You see?
Yeah. They carried, literally. It's a hand. Lift it up.
Here it is. Here it is. But,
but yeah, so he's just basically, that mirror scene has nothing to do with anything. I just wanted to
it's
mention
cool, though. It's
it was
cool,
just
though.
Cool.
Listen.
And he just, like, comes out with his scuba gear, and he's just reading, again, through the book, kind of being like, okay, well, this is what mm-hmm, we need. We need to make mm-hmm. the stew. This is all part of it, because basically the plan is to connect it to the boogeyman, and the boogeyman, like, ages really rapidly and so that they just die, which is an interesting
thing. The fact that they have to get older and
yeah.
age,
like, it's very interesting. And also, like, wouldn't they not age at all,
right? Like, this is
they're
why boogie, why yeah animatic. Why is like, this that is a weird
they're a magical
for
presence
it.
You know what I mean? But so yeah, it's not even like I wonder what they thought of in the writer's room and if they had other ideas, because maybe they didn't want it to be like, well, they die, like maybe they want it to be like they age and they die of natural causes, like,
right? But that's,
you know what I
but
mean,
that's so weird though, for it's almost because like growing up is such a theme of this that it's mm-hmm. like the fact that they have to get older
yeah
in
I
order
guess
to be
that's
defeated,
also like
kind of
tied in
it, yeah I guess like to be defeated you kind of have to age out of all of this
maybe yeah
sad though
so that is sad. It gets sad
yeah
it's already sad
you see,
but
you see
then the guidance counselor comes over for dinner
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and They're making the dinner, or they're all sitting on the table, and then Bert's like, I gotta go. He, like, all he ever does is, like, make some quip.
Literally, honestly, he's such a realistic interpretation of a teenager, though.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just here, like, and I'm gonna leave.
This is, yeah, I feel like anytime anything is happening, that's just your response at that age, to be like,
can I go?
Can I? Yeah, myself? I'm gonna go to my room, or okay, or someone comes over for dinner. That's guys, great, but I'm gonna
want
to
hang out.
Yeah, like so. I'm in my own world over here, and I'm like, that's he's like not problematic. He's just there. It's
yeah,
so
he really
funny.
Is it. Yeah, he's just like, well,
I thought he was gonna be more of a menace, kind of like I was like, I can't remember, is this character gonna be? And he's not. Like, he's just like they bicker, obviously, but it's never like my brother ruined stuff. It's like, anyway, he's barely here. It's so random, but they're eating there, and then she goes into the kitchen. And she's like,
they smell something, and yeah, she's like,
and they're about to bring out like dessert.
Yeah.
And it's like, and so they're like, okay. And so she goes in there, and Larry's literally cooking out of like a cauldron.
It's
disgusting.
The place is disgusting. Okay?
It's disgusting.
No, they don't smell anything yet, because she goes in there and she's like, what the heck is going on in here? And he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just doing the thing. Put nails in there, put like tails of rat, like,
and then
random
like
things.
Gym socks, dirty socks.
Oh, a bunch of like bugs.
Oh my, yeah, he's like, anyway, these, which are here, clearly fake, but they're real in the movie.
They are. And then I know there's a rubber.
I know, he's like a rubber, centipede, and centipede. I'm like, hello.
But yeah, it's basically boogie goo, which is supposed to lure the boogeyman to come, because they think it's disgusting, delicious. And so this is when she like is sort of like,
it's that thing where we were kind of like, she should, I would have immediately been like, who did this in the kitchen? Like, if I were Fran wanting people to not think I did anything, I'd immediately walk in and be like, and turn right back around and go, do y'all see in this?
Yeah,
I've been here the whole
this
time. Like, this wasn't me, clearly.
Obviously.
Like,
she's like, keeps doing this thing where she just finds herself, which is always what happens in movies. And you're like, why did you just do this?
I'm like,
thing?
Girl, you're not winning. Like, you are your own worst enemy.
And she's like, obviously, she's like, well, you're my friend now. So I'm going to have this conversation. Like, what the heck is going on? And she's like, okay, oh, it's not at this part, but her mom comes in, and she's, because she smells it, and she's also trying to get like, somebody served something,
yeah,
disgusting.
The ice cream weird stuff,
it was like rice pudding,
yeah, but inside of
it everybody was like,
is the socks and the laces, and it's so gross, and like the guidance counselor gets the worst of it,
yeah,
because I'm like, does anyone else smell this? And like, she's like choking on the laces.
Yeah.
Girl, if I were her, I'd been like, listen, like, also I'm like, they're lucky they didn't get like sued or something, like, hello.
Yeah, because the dad's like, she's like, do I detect nutmeg? He's like, a little. And I'm like, bro, what do you think is going on? Like,
dad, I swear. Did you make again, this dad is like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, are y'all,
oh, I think what it was that Larry said, I know now. Huh. Is that Larry was like, I used the blender to blend the socks. And she's like, did you clean it? And he's like, oh, yeah. And no, because the dad made the rice pudding.
Okay, well, the dad, once again, is super out of it if he didn't realize that there was like literal laces and socks in there. This is such
laces.
Versus me, who literally is like cleansing the entire.
You're like, I know I just washed it in the dishwasher, but let
but
me wash.
But anyway, let me also spick and span. I'm this man. So that's, you're right. That is what happens.
Because I remember her being like, did you wash it after? And he's like, oh, yeah.
So it makes sense, though, then there's only like one serving that really has like the bulk of
only
it, probably.
That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So then the mom goes into the kitchen and she's like, ugh. She's like, it smells so
yeah,
bad.
I love it, because she almost, it's like, it she's feels almost so realistic, yeah, like as if the actress is like, I actually can't say my lines because it smells so
it's
bad.
Disgusting.
Like, she literally goes, I'm so, she's like having a moment, like, I want you to be, we want to be there for you, and like kind of saying like, do you, what do you need from us, essentially? And then she's like, I'm sorry, like,
she's like,
gagging,
can we walk away from
yeah,
this
yeah, like,
pot?
We need to get away from she's this, like, what recipe is this, like, what recipe are you, book are you
I
following?
I also love that she's like, what is this for? And she's like, home ec. She's like, you don't take home ec.
She's
like, well, yeah, that's why I'm doing it at home. And he's like, she's like,
it's
okay.
So funny. It's
but
so
then
random.
She does try to have a real conversation with her, like you said, where she's just like, I know that, you
know,
you had to feel like you had to do this for Darwin. And he's like, okay now.
And he's doing great now.
He's doing
and
better.
Yeah.
But like, how are you? And I know that we had to sort of focus
like,
on
she
him
she
kind of
says that where she's like, you were forced to grow up,
yeah,
kind of
that,
and like, yeah,
and we couldn't focus on you as much because he needed all the focus. And she's like, it's fine, like, she's still
kind of
not,
it's kind of that thing where she says something where she's like, I know it's not fair, it's kind of that whole thing of like, it's not fair, but it this is just how it happened, which like, I feel like there's something
you were talking about I don't know if they said it or you were talking about too, when she was like talking about how parents have to sort of be like, because doesn't she say like, we were all afraid and it's okay to be afraid?
Yeah, the mom is saying, like, she's saying, is it then that she's saying?
Yeah,
that?
She says something like that at
like,
that point.
Like, it's okay that it was scary when he was sick, like, he's better now, but like, we were
scared too.
And it's that, like, whole thing, that other dynamic of talking about adulthood and like, whether, like, when you get older, like, when we're kids, we just assume that parents aren't afraid of anything. Yeah. Like, they're just not scared because they're not scared of the dark. They're not mm-hmm. scared of things that kids can tangibly, that we're like, scared of. Yeah, like, the tangible stuff that kids can see and fear, like, parents aren't, because they're just like, that's not real. And, like, obviously, if there's, like, real life stuff that kids, like, it's not until there's that certain crossover, I feel like, when we start getting older and we're like, oh, like, people can be scary, like, there are scary things, but it's like, you, like, it's just different. It's, and different. It's interesting. And it, I think I had quoted, because I was quoting
Lion King
one, where Simba's like, you know, but you're not scared of anything, and he's like, I was today, and he's like,
I almost lost you.
It starts from the Simba, you know, and then Zazu, take Nala home. And he's like, Simba, you deliberately disobeyed me.
You deliberately
disobeyed me. I just want to be like, you put Nala in danger. I just wanted to be like you.
You're not scared of anything.
And he's like, I just wanted to be brave like you. And he's like, I'm only brave when I have to be. He's like, but you're not scared of anything. And he's like, I was today. I was scared I might lose you. And he's like, really? Really? And it's like this whole thing of just like, adults are the most scared people. Like, it's not about the things that kids are scared about, yeah. But adults are literally the most frightened, like, parents especially are, like, the most frightened people in the world, because they're just like,
yeah, parents,
all true. The things that can happen. And it's just like, I think it was that other line too. I also, as always, I quoted Taylor Swift, The Best Day, that she wrote that song about her mom when it was on Fearless. And it's the line where she's like, I don't know why all the trees change in the fall. I know you're not scared of anything at all. And it's just like such a childlike view of just being like, anyway, things I know for sure. Mom's not afraid of anything. Yeah. Like, it's literally like always that.
Number one,
nothing frightens my
things
mom.
Things I don't know.
You know, which is stop. Which why is why we brought that up too about Incredibles, like when they're in the plane and she's like frightened and you can hear Dash immediately get scared. Like, he's like, Mom, because he's like, wait, she's scared.
Yeah, that's that thing of like when you see your parents cry and you're a kid.
And you're just like the world shifts.
Yeah,
you're like, what is happening? That's not, like, you're kind of like glitching. Like, you're like, that's not. It's like, it's like, I feel like we just shared all these stories while we were watching it. Cause I think I said that where I was told you I was little and my mom got like stuck in a snowstorm in Texas, which is like not heard of, obviously. So she's never had to drive through it. And I was like,
That is barely crazy. Two. It was in Texas.
Yeah. And I was like, I think it was in Texas. Yeah. And I was barely two. And either way, wherever it was, she never drives in snow. So she was like, freaking out, like calling my dad, being like, okay, I'm gonna stop here, I'm gonna do this, and he's like, it's okay, like, make sure you're doing this, all this stuff. And then she like said something, like she like let it pass, like she was trying to keep it cool, and then she like randomly was just like, honey, I'm scared, like she said that, and like I'm like, that seems so real, like our age, like if we were like, I would do something like that, but yet she like forgot to keep it in, and like immediately after she said that, I was in the back, not even able to talk yet, and I was just like, and like, it's just so funny, the shift when you're a kid, when you hear your parental figure upset, even if you're not able to talk yet, you're just like, oh my gosh, everything's wrong. Like, everything's wrong. Instinctively, you just know something's wrong. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just like, I liked that conversation that they're having where it's kind of like talking about like this whole theme of just like boogeymen versus imagination, and how oftentimes when we're the most imaginative people, those are the ones who are the most frightened, because you can imagine the worst. Scariest, worst things.
But then also this is like the opposite of that, because her mom is like, you know, she felt like she had to like grow up.
Yeah.
But her mom is like, it's okay. Like, we were all afraid. And maybe though when it was happening, her mom wasn't able, like their parents weren't able to be there to tell her, like, we didn't tell you that it's okay to be afraid, but it is. And like, and I wonder why Fran, I guess because Fran felt like she had to do something.
Right.
And I mean, that is why, that she's like, okay, well, I can't contribute with my bone marrow, but I'm going to contribute
by I'm going to make
being another adult.
I'm going to make Darwin feel grounded and feel safe. Because that's literally what she's telling him, where she's like, it's okay. Like, you can, like, she's trying to tell him you have to be like a big boy, because that's what we're going to get through this, because
because adults aren't afraid of anything.
Yeah, you can handle this. And it's not like in a harsh, tough love way. No, it was just in a very like comforting way. But it's just, because
she thought that she was doing the right
thing.
Which we're going to get into in a second, because there's more. This is when Larry was hiding in the pot the whole time. And she's like, where are you? Because she's like trying to move the pot and it's yeah, really heavy.
So it's heavy. He was in and there. It's because he's in it.
And I then can't. She finds him in there and he comes out, but he's like eating the boogie goo. And so she's like,
why are you eating the goo that's made for boogeyman?
Yeah. Boogeyman.
Boogeyman.
Like, he's like, again, a last name.
Oh, is that a little snowman? Justin McElroy.
Justin McElroy.
Making everything sound like a last name.
And then.
Is that a snowman?
Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man. I can't stop. Okay. Spider-Man's.
Spider people.
See?
Boogie person.
Boogie person. We'll get already there. Breaking the norm. Listen, in this movie.
Anyway. Yeah. Right? That's another. I think that's what it was supposed to lead to.
Honestly.
Now that I'm thinking honestly, about it. Okay. So. We digress.
Listen.
So, yeah, Larry is eating the boogie goo, and this is when Fran's like, you look weird. Your eyes are changing color, which we haven't even talked about. They start, like, looking weird. His nails, he's like, you know, whatever. He lets out a couple laughs, like you said, like the boogeyman laugh, which you is, see? Like, a weird, like, cackle. And she's like, are you turning into a boogeyman? Which she's like so casual about it.
Yeah. It's like, she makes the connection and it's like,
she's about like her, to say it. Yeah, and he's like, don't even say what you're going to say. I'm not turning into a boogeyman. And she's like.
And she's making this like like kind of like a logical, like this leads to this. This makes sense why this is happening.
Again.
Yeah.
Logically.
See?
You're a boogeyman.
It's like, that's only makes sense. And he's like, don't say it.
It's like, no.
She's like, why are you eating the goo then? Why are you, know, all that stuff.
Okay. She goes upstairs. Darwin, she goes into Darwin's room and she's like, because that's where Larry is, and he's like looking under his bed, and she takes the book, and this is when she looks at the book, and this is when she finds out that, which is like literally page one.
Yeah.
I'm like, girl, page one says that if an imaginary friend, if their child stops believing in them too early, then they start to turn into a boogeyman. And she reads that and she sees Larry rummaging, and he's like, can you tell Darwin that his car, like, this, he's been looking for this. And that's when
he's been looking for this. He's been looking for this. So cute.
And you see his nails.
I can't.
And then this is when she's like, this is what's happening, right? And then she's like,
you were Darwin's.
Yeah. Which, so there's a part before that when he comes home, he's like, Darwin, hello. Like,
why can't you see me? Yeah. And that's when she's like, you were his imaginary friend. And
I didn't know that was your brother, which I'm like,
I know, we're like, were you not basically maybe just in his room? Like, he never went into public areas with him. But also it's like that thing where she realized that. Is it then where he's like, yeah, he gave up believing on him?
No, a little bit earlier. Yeah. When he originally, like before he starts showing signs as much as he is now, is when she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, she's like, what? I don't know if they delved into it then.
At one point, though, they basically addressed the fact that he's like, yeah, it's like, you basically got him to stop believing in me. And she's like, what, me?
Because she's like, well, because she like kind of admits it. And she's like,
all I did was tell him, you know, yeah, he was old enough.
He was too old. He needed to grow up. You know, I told him that imaginary friends aren't real. And that's when he like looks at her with his like red eyes and teeth. And he's like, it's your fault. And she's like, why are you so it's like, not why are you looking so scary?
So he didn't know as he much. Didn't know. Okay, never mind. I got that wrong. I think I was thinking he said like, yeah, you're the one.
That when
did
she's
it.
Like, well, yeah, because I told him. Yeah, and she, okay, then he's okay. Like, that's when he like really and he like rages. Turns into And she's like, why are you like so, why are you looking at me like that? Why are you being so mean? And he's like, this is all your fault. Like, seriously, she's like, he needed to believe. And it's all, it's sad.
It's
because
so
she's
sad.
Like,
she's like, he needed to believe
in his doctors. Like,
which is so sad, like, because it's like, you can do both, obviously.
It would seem like you could believe, because it didn't sound like she was like, he didn't want to.
Yeah, she wasn't being like, and she wasn't being like, that was silly stuff. Put it away. Like, that's like, she was just more so like, I was trying to encourage him that the doctors and the logic behind everything can help him and he can get. Like, he cannot be sick anymore, essentially.
Like, she made it seem like he didn't want to believe in science, which is not true, because he was a kid. Like, of course, I feel like we were saying, it would be more beneficial to sort of have a mix of both, especially to keep somebody's spirits high.
And usually they do that when it's children that are, you know, sick, that you're kind of like, hey, like, you do not have to let go of your imagination and not, you deserve to be a kid, like, at all times.
Exactly, especially because they're, like, going through so much, and they're probably like, I feel like I need to grow, or you know what I mean? Like, not have, like, be a child right now. But that happens, and then while they're having that conversation, we see like thunder, like fog and clouds and everything happening in Fran's room because Darwin stepped in the boogie goo. And also, the boogeyman is going after Fran this whole time. Like, he's, like, targeting Fran.
So we're, yeah.
And so when his foot is, like, hanging over the bed. Darwin's foot is hanging over the bed. And then the boogeyman grabs, pulls him under the bed. And then they hear him scream. And that's when they're like,
what happened? Darwin. Yeah, where's Darwin? And so that's when they discover, okay, like, he's officially taken him. And it's all to basically get Fran's attention. And so they basically get the machine working, right? Is what they do next.
Yeah, I think Larry was like, I've got it. Everything's happening. Everything's great. And he's like, keeps going back and forth between.
Like, kind of descending the boogeyman. Although
he already kind of looks like him and he's like, all right, anyway.
Like, he's still himself.
He's like sounding like, and she's like, what the? He's like, I got something in my throat.
I can't. And I'm
like, but he's got like little whiskers.
Yeah.
And stuff.
And he's like slowly, and it's not until like basically. They enter, like, this is so funny because
he has like a long extension cord too.
Yeah, this is the whole like premise of the show, I feel like, or the movie. And I feel like this is what I would always think about when I thought of the movie. And it's like, obviously,
because it's at the end,
that's why. Yeah. But it was so funny because they're just like, anyway, let's go under the bed and let's like shrink and be kind. And I was like, what a again, I love, honey, I shrunk the kids, you know, you see,
it's just a portal under there. Mm-hmm. And again, she put, hold on, now this is where we live because Fran. So Larry goes down, and then Fran's like, what is happening down there? She puts her hand, it's like a little portal, and I'm like, that's us.
It's so cute.
That's where we're
on the other side
we're
of it.
We're on the other side.
On their side. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, her dad comes in, and he's like, honey. Every time, he always picks the worst. He's like, honey, I need to talk to you.
And nothing is, it's never in her favor. Like, she's not in a, like, it's always just making it look worse to him, who's already just like, he's like ridiculous.
Exactly. But I don't know what he asked. He's basically like, are you okay, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, trying to have, like, a sit-down. Like, yeah,
and
yeah.
Her mom, I thought, came up too. But he's like, is that my vacuum? She's like, yeah, I was just...
Just cleaning up in here, like, what do you want?
And he's like, okay, I don't know. But basically, he comes in and then he leaves. And then she also had one of those inflatable chairs.
I told you, the kind that I could literally...
In the late 90s, early 2000s.
So comfy. I was telling Stevie that, one, I would stick my head through the opening in the back and put it on my back, become a turtle. And then two,
and become a turtle, obviously.
Like, you become,
like,
one.
You said that, like,
become a turtle, you obvious. Know? Like, what else would
like
you
like we
be?
Said, it's obvious.
One, two, it's a wiki how to become a turtle. Get one of these inflatable things.
Yeah. Step one.
Step one. And acquire inflatable seat. But I remember I was telling Stevie that I would put that, like, me and my friend would put it in front of the TV and we'd sit both, like, squeeze into it. And then we would put, like, when we were watching Jumanji specifically, we would wait until the stampede scene came on. And as soon as they would round the corner, we'd be like, like, acting.
That is the best.
Isn't it?
I love stuff like that.
Feels like we have core memories like that, right? Where it's just like, that's.
It's like when you go to the arcade and they're like, well, you're like in the thing that you're like
literally writing in the thing. I can't. Gosh, good times, good times. But yeah, she has one of those. So
inflatable,
you knew what
furniture.
Time period
it
was.
All the rage. Actually, I feel so like that's good. Earlier than it was because it was 97, and I felt like I had that. That was like a year 2000 thing.
Yeah,
almost.
It definitely felt like the, like, kind of like anytime I think of the colorful Macs, like the
why
desktop.
Did I say 97?
Yeah,
99. It's 99.
But you know, yeah, you did.
Which makes,
99.
Because I was seven. Mm-hmm. I'm like 97. 99. So never mind.
I guess
it makes sense.
I guess it makes sense, but it does feel like a very specific, like, 2000s. Like, but I mean, that is practically it. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know?
Anyway. Mm-hmm. So Fran goes down there.
Goes under the bed.
She goes under the bed and then she lands. Mm-hmm. And it's.
The set
design. I love it.
The
so
set
much.
Design. And then we notice that if you look up, you can see the springs on the bed, and
the
I'm
box
like,
spring. The things down there again. I was like, this is an I Spy book. This is what it looked like. There was a giant sandwich that she like landed
disgusting,
near.
But so
disgusting.
Cool.
Yeah. Part of it was moldy. Uh-huh. It was like in a little sandwich bag.
But then the like you can just look at everything and it's like become bigger, probably not necessarily in the right proportions, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter because you can recognize it. And there's like a
speaking of that, because Larry, when he gets that, he's like, Fran. And she's like, oh, Darwin's car. And he's like, you should have seen me trying to get that out of my pocket because it's huge.
It's,
like, they can now be inside of it. And I'm just like,
so funny. So funny. And it's like, there's just, it's again, the set design, it's so cute. Like, I wish there could have, it reminded me of like a after school program where like they just all come in and they're like out of the box kind of situation where it's like that area looks like that. It was so cool looking.
These are all my favorite things.
I know.
Like stuff like that. Out of the
so
box.
So long. Farewell. to you, my friends.
Oh my god. I can't. But so like good. That thing where you're just like, oh, it's just a bed, and you go down there, and it's like the TARDIS.
Yeah, literally.
It's like the out of the box. They just put some boxes together, and they put there's a slide.
Out of the box, and look, oh my, out of the box. The way that, you know what? I think I made one once with like the neighborhood kids. We like all made them, like all my friends, and it's like we put the boxes together, and then like come to find out, like obviously, unless you create an inner. I think we did.
I think it was like, come to find out, no magic no in there. Magic. Just boxes.
But also, it's like you have to perfectly create it so you can actually go inside. Yeah. We did make a fort another time. It's like a fort. I had a really cool fort we made, which like I feel like we kept for months. It was so cool. I'll have to show you the photos. Anyway, but like, it's just like
that. Photos? Even better.
Yeah, we had like, we made like, put tubes in it, and like we could like.
That was the out of the box.
You see, I do wish though it could have been like a literal classroom looking kind of thing. And then you can jump into the portraits. Don't.
It's like Wishbone.
Don't.
And what was everything better in the 90s? I mean, not everything.
Our childhood?
Not everything.
Immaculate. Yeah, not everything. But our childhood. But
anyways.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like that under there. And they
get on the car though, right? Because they're like, okay, we got to go find him. We're going to use the car. Mm-hmm. They start like pushing. The whole sequence is literally this great like zooming through like while she's on the back of the like, car.
Lightning.
Yeah, everything's happening. He goes through a phase, right? Like it's literally going.
Oh, wait, Mandy was saying that her brother used it. Wait, that I'm gonna try to find the gif or the photo, but he's like, and she's like, and "Are you good?"
So
and it
funny.
Reminded me of that scene in Willy Wonka where they're going through like the tunnel.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it was
yeah.
Like
it's so like ridiculous, like a transformation scene basically. Because on the end of it, he's basically almost turned all the way into a boogeyman, but he still has himself. Like he's still is coherent and stuff,
emotionally Larry. Mm-hmm. But like every now and then, he's like.
So they get there. Do they see Darwin right away, or do they?
I think they hear him at one point, and. There's like, he's like in a sock.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
It smells like an old gym sock. In here.
The boogeyman has essentially put him in there.
Yeah.
To basically all to lure Fran. Like it's all to lure her. We have a very long sequence of Fran trying to get Darwin out of the sock while Larry and the boogeyman like battle each other. That goes on for a while too. Because I was like, she cannot open that sock.
She couldn't open it. And then he's like, not get it. Like at one point. She almost fell over the cliff. Like, there's, like, a cliff that leads to, like...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, no. The boogeyman grabs the sock and is, like, pulling dangling it to dangle it.
Basically
Darwin
just
over.
To... Yeah, yeah.
And he's, like, it's... What is it? She's like, it's even scarier when he stops.
Oh,
like,
right. Because he's like, don't. Yeah. Because he's like,
the drop
I'm scared.
Is scary, but it's even
scarier when it stops. That's what it was. We were like, that was pretty good.
Like, again. It's true. Okay. This is when we actually see the boogeyman for the first time. Not just his hand. And, oh, we forgot. You were talking about the okay. There was another scene that we completely said we were going to go back to and we didn't. But Larry kept being like, do you see the boogeyman? To Fran. And Fran never sees the boogeyman.
Him.
Yeah. She's like, it's right there. It's right there. And she's like, I don't. And there's a part when he's like on the roof because the boogeyman turned on
he's
all
the lights.
He's trying
to do like all these Christmas looking lights.
Because
they
like do a power outage in the whole freaking town.
And the only house that's lit is theirs.
Is theirs. And it's like all lit up. And that's when Larry was like. Also, it's like midnight or something.
Yeah, she goes out there with like a ladder. Yeah. They're trying to help, and then he's the only one. Like she still does not see the boogeyman, so she never has interactions.
She's like, do you see him, Fran? Yeah. Do you see him? Poor and she's Larry. Like, I don't see anything. Like, and also, she's like, okay.
Once again, getting framed for. I swear.
Because also, she's like, what else is she gonna do? She obviously is like, I'm trying to help Larry. Let me get my ladder, and then the ladder like falls and breaks the parents' window.
And didn't she like think? Larry like died or something because she's like, oh, you're okay.
Yeah, remember? I don't know because he fell.
He disappears
something.
After that, and she's like, okay.
And that's again when the parents are like, this is why they have the guidance counselor.
Yeah, that is because they're like, something's going on. And
it's
also,
midnight.
Yeah, why is
the
there
paparazzi
an
come to the house? We didn't even talk about
I forgot about that. And that's why they don't go to school.
Yeah,
right?
They don't go to school because she's like, I'm not going.
Bert's like, so I think we're all like something.
Bert's mad. I mean, Bert, the dad is mad.
Yeah, yeah. And the mom. Of course he is. Like, hello?
She's mad the whole time. Hello? And the mom the whole time is like, I'm just trying to understand my daughter.
I know.
But
poor babe.
Looking fabulous.
I can't. She's lovely.
Red hair, just... like the bangs. I can't. Giving a Stevie Nicks haircut almost. Like,
yeah, you're right.
So cute.
You're right.
I love her. Anyway, I just wanted to say that was that moment
so,
when
yes.
we did see
so
the
this
boogeyman.
Is the first time, though, that we're, she
I think
is.
We
that was
saw
our
the
first
on the
time.
Roof. Yeah.
And this is her first time, though, seeing him and coming face to face with him. And so she's like, what are you, like, what the heck? And basically
on his turf.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
His turf.
They're battling. She's trying to get Darwin out. Basically,
and then, he keeps calling her Franny, and she's like,
"Why are you calling me Franny?" She's like, and she keeps Franny. Having a moment where she literally, it's like Dory, Nemo. That's a nice name. Like, she just keeps going on.
What does she say? Chico?
No. Oh, yeah. Chico. No. Oh, yeah. It's not Nemo. It's the... Tipo? Well, first off, it
she
is.
She keeps that, going, yeah.
Man, what a good... What a scene. Because then at one point, she does do Nemo. That's a nice name. I'm like, right. We thought... I can't. And then later on, Nemo. I can't. Now I want to watch Finding Nemo. Anyway. But yeah, she... so then that's happening. Then Larry, like, gets the machine out, right? To, like...
Larry,
like,
this whole time, he's, like,
they're trying to plug in the situation. Plug it. Get some kind of electric force.
And then he, like, puts... the boogeyman's nails ridiculously long, okay? And...
He pulls the extension cord out.
So he, like... He's, like, got his little... it looks like jumpers for the car. And puts them on the boogeyman's nails, which always freaked me out as a kid. I was like, oh, that's gotta hurt. No. The feeling of literally...
Forms of torture in most countries.
Mm-hmm. Nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. Oh, my... Stop.
And so he, like, plugs it in. I mean, clamps onto the boogeyman. And the boogeyman's, like, faking it. He's like, no! Just kidding. It didn't do anything. Because, like you said, the machine wasn't plugged in.
You see? You see, like, the, and then where you were like, and also that's their way out.
Yeah. The whole time I was like, oh, yeah. I was thinking, like, it's like a breadcrumb situation.
Right?
I'm like,
I know. And so that happens, though. And then don't they, like there's many instances where it just does not work out. Yeah. Like, they're trying to do that. Then they do de-age him for, like, is that what you're like, wait, what happens next?
No, there's a part when.
Not de-age him, the opposite.
So.
They make him younger. Him.
Yeah, because so this whole time Darwin's in the sock. And
the whole time. Fran was, this poor boy.
Yeah, the whole time. He's like, I don't know what's going dark. On. I in don't believe dark. In the boogeyman.
Yeah.
I don't believe in anything. Imaginary friends, but I'm scared.
But I'm, yeah.
And so he's like. So this is when Fran was like, okay, I see a battery. Let me just take, like, while Larry's battling.
Yes.
Because Larry was battling, and isn't this when he, oh no, it's later, but she like plugs in some, what's it called? Not safety pins. What are they called? Safety.
Oh,
paper clips.
Wait.
So she grabs paper clips and she's like putting them on the battery. And I'm like, this is me in fifth grade.
Yeah. Like, this is literally being like, and then if you put in the potato and then you know, the electricity. Yeah.
I remember doing that in fifth grade and I had braces and telling that because we were like trying to use the battery to light up the light. Uh-huh. And I remember telling my teacher, I'm like, Miss Castillo, I'm like, I could use my braces, but I shouldn't because I was such a dweeb. I was like, and she's like, ugh.
Just like the TV show Brace Face. Remember that?
Yes. Mm. I almost forgot about that show.
I didn't have braces, but I feel like I thought that show spoke to me in a different way.
You're like, I feel
like, you know what? I had glasses. Huh? I see you. And she's like, my teeth are on fire, but okay.
she's like, okay.
The music was like, Brace Face or something. Right. And it was like electrocution. And she could like talk. That was wild, honestly.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the plot. I'm like, she had braces.
Right. The whole. And then she could just like get radio transmission.
That's. You're like, it's like Brace Face because of the electricity. And I'm over here like, yeah, she had braces.
She had braces. Same. You know? I can't. The way
I literally forgot about that. But yeah.
She would like open her locker and be like, oh, yeah. I can't.
Yeah. Oh, that was cool.
But it went right.
Yeah. That reminds me of like Brandy and Mr. Whisker. Anyway.
Literally the same kind of design, honestly. Yeah.
Except for not a bunny.
Right? The jeans?
Or a dog? Is she a bunny or a dog?
She was a dog. And then I think, and he was a bunny.
He had like the.
The whiskers.
Yeah. Anyways.
What a show that I would always change if it came on. I did not love that show.
I didn't like it either.
Oh, man. Wow. We are the same. Anyway.
Like Dave the Barbarian.
Same. Sometimes there were some gems though. So I had to get older to appreciate it though. Like it was that transition time where I would be I would turn off Dave the Barbarian, but then I got to the point where I was a little bit older and
it
was like,
on at like 1 a.m.
Yeah, so. And I watched an episode once and I was like, this is so funny, ridiculous. Like it was just stupid, ridiculous, but kind of clever. Like not stupid like that, but clever.
Well, maybe we have to watch it now.
Put on the one about where the pimple comes off.
I remember that and I hated it.
Watch it again.
I hate it.
Watch it again because Brandy because it comes and the, to life. Isn't her name Brandy
that's
in that?
Brandy,
that's why
though.
It was her. The sister's name was Brandy, recently. I think. And you're like Brandy, and I was like, no. The sister's name, I think that was like whatever. The princess. She was like Brandy, and the I think it was Brandy.
What
and
beauty of the
zit. Yeah, they dance. She dances with her overgrown Ew. Zit that pops off and becomes an sentient being. And she's like Brandy. I remember and that. The zit. And it's something. Life could be so simple if you weren't a pimple or something like that. And it was so. Anyway.
I'm going to pass on that.
We'll put it on. It's great. Anyway, so yes.
I don't know why we got there.
Oh, braces.
Oh, braces.
But anyway, electricity.
She gets it to work with the battery. And she's like, she starts like, he, the the boogeyman starts to like age rapidly. Yes. And then he's like, Franny, Franny, I can't remember. I can't. And, but he starts turning into an older woman. And
yeah. Yeah. Fran, because I was like, wait, this is an older woman.
Yeah. It's an older woman. Like, and reminded me of a character from like Labyrinth, honestly.
Yeah. Because like, I was like, this is not, like, you know how some, I was like, wait, is this a man that just like looks kind of like an older woman? But I'm like, no, they would have not chosen. Yeah. That's an older woman.
But it was so sad.
And she goes like, Franny,
she's
Franny.
Like, I can't. And then again, she's like, Franny. Like it keeps jogging a memory that she had, she but doesn't she can't. Know.
Yeah.
And then she's like, it made me sad because she's like, I can't even remember how to rhyme anymore. And I'm it made me so sad. Because, and then something happens where like it over the battery like jolts
overpowers
too much,
or overpowers, something. Yeah, burns
and
it, out.
And then he turns back into like,
and he's like, haha, anyway,
like,
I'm back.
My beautiful self. Yeah. Now I'm back into my actual boogeyman form. And then this is when I don't know what they say to each other, but Larry and Fran say something. And this is when Fran was like, you have to believe, like, she starts to talk to Darwin.
Oh,
and she's
yes.
She's like, who the hell is Larry? Like, why do you? And then he's like, okay. She's like, all right, I'm going to get Larry him to believe starts, again so that Larry can, because Larry then starts to be like,
Larry has fully
we're both boogeymen.
Turned like, into a boogeyman at this point.
And starts to
lost
attack.
Lost his inner self, basically. Yeah,
yeah. He's helping the other boogeyman.
And so this is when Fran is like desperate, like you said, being like, you've got to believe, like, Larry was your imaginary friend. I'm sorry I made you grow up too fast. Like, I'm sorry, all this stuff.
And she's like, but you told me Larry wasn't real. He said, but
yeah,
you told me Larry
from inside
real.
The sock.
I know.
It's so funny. And she's like, no, like, like, I'm sorry.
Real. Like, just believe, like, say that you
clap. Because that's the thing they were talking about from the library when they're thinking, right?
Because Larry's like, if you.
It's like, it's basically, it's Peter Larry. Pan, literally. Peter Pan is literally the core theme, obviously. Yeah, and it's like basically keeping a fairy alive, clapping, but also believing keeps the imaginary friend alive, obviously.
Yeah,
from turning into a boogeyman.
Like, if you believe in Larry, clap your hands. And so, but the song,
you see.
And then that's when she's like, okay, I guess he's like, all right, fine. And then he's like, Larry, help me. Like, and then Larry snaps out of it, and it's just like a explode, which I love when they do that in movies where they're like shell, like
immediately
explodes.
Like completely changed, not just like one at a time. It's like, anyway,
explosion, and I was in here all along. And then he's like in his little cowboy outfit because it's so cute. And also Darwin had like a little toy, like a little figurine that was like looked like Larry as a cowboy. So he's that cowboy form now. And then that's when Larry starts to battle the boogeyman again.
That's right.
And then Fran starts to tries to get Darwin out of the sock. And then eventually what happens is like they're like, they keep battling. They can't beat her. They can't beat him. I mean, they can't beat him. And then that's when she's like, Zoe, stop it.
And like, it's like out of nowhere. You're like, whoa, Zoe.
You were like, Zoe.
I know. I was like, wait a minute.
Who the hell?
Wait. Okay. Ariana, what are you doing here?
Ariana.
What?
Literally. And then so she's like, that's when the boogeyman's like, what? And then also Zoe. Larry's like, who?
Who is Zoe?
Everyone's like, who is Zoe?
Mid, like, about to plunge, like, a sword into him. And he's like, Zoe?
Yeah, his nails were like.
So funny.
I just love the part when he's like, the pen is mightier than the sword. But it's no match against a fingernail because the boogeyman's nails are, like,
so
ridiculously long.
It's ridiculous.
But yeah.
So then you're like, Zoe.
She faces off against her. And by faces off, I mean looks at her. And she's like, I'm sorry. Like, I stopped believing in you. And like, and everyone's like, okay.
Like,
and
having a moment with this boogeyman.
Yeah, and the boogeyman's like looking at her. And then she's like, I thought I had to, like, I had to let you go because of everything. And like, I'm sorry.
And she says stuff about like, I couldn't give. Doesn't she bring something up about like, I wanted to be like, I thought Fran said something right then about like the bone marrow stuff, or maybe not.
She says it. Oh, earlier. Oh, my God. Yeah. Before this happened, when she like confronted Larry, or Larry confronted her, and he's like,
he's starting to get those tendencies. Yeah. It's really emotional.
It was such a great scene.
He's literally like, you couldn't give, or what was it?
It was sad. It was harsh, but it was like such a good scene.
Yeah.
And also, like, thinking about it now, and I'm, like, 7 at the time, and I was, like,
I know. I'm, like, I probably haven't went over my head. I'm, like, what are they talking about?
I remember understanding it, but, like, as much as I could, because I'm, like, what? I don't know. But I was, like,
literally, like, 5.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, I'm literally, like, hello.
Like, obviously, no one sat down and was, like, this is what this
is.
I
feel like we were just
kind of
taking it in. And then probably with each rewatch, it was, like,
I understand that. But basically, when they have that conversation, he's, like, I bet you were, it was so harsh. Okay, but he was already turning into the boogeyman. He's like, I bet you were relieved when you knew that you couldn't donate, that you weren't a match, so that you didn't have to donate. And he's like,
because you were scared, you know, scared. It's scared.
And she's like, why are you being like this? And then that this is also upsetting. When he's like, he says something. And he's like, whatever. It's the only logical explanation.
Oh, it was
like,
he so like
throws it back
we
at
were
her.
Like, that was cold. Like, this is like harsh.
Honestly, I get chills just thinking about
it.
I know.
It was because a lot.
The way that whole scene delivery, though, it was so like great.
Like, the framing way that it of was, it, the everything, like just backing her into a corner, so, kind of.
Like, professional, which sounds ridiculous. I mean, thinking because it's a Disney Channel movie, and I'm just like, oh my God. Because
they just never touch this the kind way of stuff. Like, that.
The top.
That harsh. Yeah, like
and
that.
The
deep.
Acting.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Was she was like, just ugh. So wounded. And just like her, and then her owning up to it though, to the boogeyman, mm-hmm. being like, I was scared. And I just felt like I had to do something to make sure I could.
Oh no,
like,
she said. What she said was, she's like, he's right. I was relieved when I knew that I wasn't. God. And that made me feel so bad.
Again, watch When a Monster Calls, because.
Oh, yeah. That movie.
Very but much relates to seen, I know. But you know how it relates to that thing of just like admitting like the truth means that there's so many truths. Within
You'd rather die.
Like that it's like, oh, that was all I had to do. Admit the truth. It's like you would have rather died than admit the truth. Which it's like, which just proves though, the whole point of that is that it's like, and in this too, it's like there's multiple truths within us. It's like the real truth is that obviously you want to help, but it's like once you own up to the part of you that's afraid, you can confront the other stuff. And it's just like.
So she has that moment now with Zoe.
She's
like letting all that out. She's like, I felt like I had to grow up. I felt like this was how I could be there for him. And I felt so guilty. And like, oh man, I want to watch this. The whole movie.
So
I'm putting it back
up. We'll
play
like, it. We'll play it.
Honestly. But. Yeah, and that's when she sort of like the same thing happens like with Larry, but she like you just see like light like coming out of the boogeyman, and then all of a sudden they're like in she's like dress, she's beautiful.
We didn't mention that earlier. Every time something creepy would happen with the boogeyman in Fran's room, we see the same doll.
There's
turn
a doll that
to
like
look at
looks
her
over, and it's like a porcelain doll,
and it's only that doll. There's and other dolls there, doll. And there's it's only her, and we're like,
and she's dressed in like a what. Era
it reminds
that?
Me of an American Girl, like Samantha's period in the American Girl doll.
She's got like big curls,
like a little like a headband,
the curls, the like
plaid kind of neck. It's not
called?
Plaid, but it looks
no,
like
what
a
are those
nice
pants. Like
oh,
pantaloons,
she does have that
almost.
On.
Like it looks like she's like in like the Revolutionary
I forgot she had that.
Era.
Yeah,
right.
Oh yeah,
so cute though, like silk peach color tones, like. She's so cute.
So
and she
cute.
Had an English accent.
So precious.
And so all of a sudden she's there. And she's like, hello. And Larry's like, who?
who is this? Who? I'm over here like, wait a minute. And she's like, a boogeyman. She's like, boogie person.
Yeah, the whole time she's like, the boogeyman's a girl?
I can't.
And it's so cute.
It's so cute because they have, and she's like, I'm so sorry for God. He's going, they like have a moment. Like she's literally hugging like her childhood.
Yeah. She's like, I know.
Is this a good time for me to bring up Pokey? My imaginary friend.
Wait, let's start.
Stevie knows this story. Everyone that I can tell knows this story. When I was almost three, if not three, okay, I do not have memory of him. Like, I know I talked about the Nadine stuff and how I, like, drew all these characters and things and, like, my own creations and stuff. By then, like, I do not remember actively playing with my imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. But my parents tell me that I had an imaginary friend named Pokey. P-O-K-E-Y. Okay. Pokey. And I don't know. Whatever. And they never saw me like actually. I feel like I remember watching like an episode of Charmed when like their son Wyatt would like be talking to like a spirit thing. Like a character. Like it's a thing. And like one of the people was like, oh, like that's normal for only children. Like whether they're only children or before they have another sibling. Mm-hmm. Like they just like you see them talking. But like I would play with stuff and talk to myself. But I don't think they ever saw me like actually being like, oh, let me go play with my imaginary friend. Which I'm like, I wonder now, do other people see their kids playing like talking
so.
To themselves
I've
like
talk- people go like they see them talking to
like
them,
talking to the wall to kind someone. Of yeah, yeah and it's like what I don't even know if they actually saw that but I would tell them like oh anyway Pokey said this and they're like is Pokey in the room with
yeah,
us
like,
right now
ooh.
Yeah right and I'm like anyway so then this is a really random sequence of events but then my dad at his company at the time he like won some kind of like lottery thingy with them where he like won a Disney trip like where he won like a like he could go buy stuff. It's a whole thing. It was. I wish I'd been older because we were apparently planning a trip to go, but he could get there earlier, so he could only use it that day that he won it. this is so, you're like, why is this relevant? But anyway, he got there first, and he got to pick out all the stuff, which is really cool. But how cute would it have been if I had been able to be in there to pick out all the things that I liked? Anyway, he did a good job, but I'm just like, how dare? How dare? Anyway, why only one day, Disney? Like, get out of here. Anyway,
that is weird.
So when we were going to go there, though, I knew we were going to go, and my mom, which I learned a bit more because I talked to her, where she was like, I had apparently been starting to develop a rash from my pacifier.
Damn, what?
Like, I would just constantly, like, I was starting to get, like, that mouth rash that, like, babies will get or something. Not a rash, but,
that's
like,
so weird.
I was irritating my skin because my teeth were getting kind of not messed up, but, like,
because you were only three.
But I was apparently, like, doing something where they're like, okay, like, the only cure to this is to take away the pacifier, right? And I would not let it up. And so my mom casually was like, you know that they, like, don't let three-year-olds and up, like, have pacifiers at Disney, which when your parent says something, it's literally law. And I literally was like, I can't, it's so funny to think that I literally was like, oh my gosh, like, they're gonna know I'm three. They're gonna know I can't have this.
They're gonna know.
I apparently was like, really? And she was like, yeah, like, isn't that, like, you know? And I'm like, what would she have done if I had just been like, but I, and it's like, okay,
we're not going.
They'll let you have an exception, whatever. But so then apparently I went away to go play. I came back to my mom and I said, Pokey told me to get rid of the pacifier. And she was just like, oh my God. Like she was literally like, called my dad. Like, oh my gosh, it worked.
It's happening.
And so we literally, like, threw the pacifier away right then and there. Because I said, Pokey told me to get rid of it. And we got rid of it. And I never needed it again, which, like, clearly shows I didn't need it. But then I never saw or talked to Pokey again after that. Which is the main point of this that I'm kind of really devastated by. Because... Yeah.
Sad.
Which, honestly, my mom and I were talking about this after I brought it up with her again. And I'm like, the way that, like, I feel like I probably was feeling like I didn't want it anymore, but I didn't know how to, like, openly say that. I got very embarrassed a lot as a kid, too. Like, I didn't even, like, I didn't like saying if I thought a character or something was cute. I didn't
I would rather three was very young. I would rather die than tell someone
I had a crush. I would rather die. I did not want to talk about that. And, like, three is very young for that, too. But I just wouldn't. I wouldn't want to say if I didn't know a word that, like, not because I knew big words or anything, but, like, I would literally find ways to ask my parents something, like convoluted. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be like, what's this mean? Well, what's that mean when you put it together? Why didn't you just ask us what that compound word is? And I'm like, I was just so embarrassed that I feel like I would have been embarrassed to have been like, I need to give up this pacifier.
I'm going to do this myself.
Because, yeah, I don't even need
but
it.
But Pokey was your emotional support.
It was literally him being like, I'll go away to make sure that you can, like, I'll take the blame. Like, you don't have to own up to it. I'll take the blame and you can get rid of this without having of it be. And I don't know if, like, me not talking to him anymore. That's so emotional.
I know.
I just feel
again, imaginary friend stuff always makes me emotional. It's like that movie Drop Dead Fred, which I haven't seen in a long, long time. But I remember being like, oh my God. And it was like that. But they were like in love.
Don't get me started. Remember I told you my friend, she was like in college, she was like, oh, I had a friend, I don't know what the character, I think it was like Trevor, she's like, I had an imaginary friend named Trevor when I was a kid. She was and she was just like, now I kind of want to name, this is not the same, but like she was like, I want to name it my future kid Trevor. And I'm like, what if that was your future kid coming back?
It's literally to back
then,
to the future.
In London, when I was studying abroad, one of my classes was a creative writing class, and I wrote a story, which is not the same, but you're talking about being in love, and I wrote a story about, like, this is not even the same either, but I kind of got the idea of it because I was like, well, what if it was like your future husband that comes back and it's like there, which is like a different dynamic. But instead,
I love stuff like
instead I made
like
it like a time traveling thing where the husband goes back and like me. It's this whole thing. And I'm like, I'll let you read it.
But the love one literally is like Drop Dead Fred.
See, except it's an imaginary friend, right?
It's an imaginary friend.
I love that.
Me too.
Okay, I'm going to watch Drop Dead Fred because
I've never
seen it.
Let's watch it. I haven't seen it as an adult and it might be weird now. But also, I remember them saying at the time that they were going to like remake it at the time, like when I was like a teenager, and they were going to have Russell Brand be Fred. And I remember being like, this would be great because he did, I think it was him, because you remember how they remade that movie Arthur? This is a whole other
tangent. Yeah.
And so I loved the original and I saw the one with him in it and I remember liking it.
And
so
you were like, oh, this could do, yeah.
But anyway, they should remake Drop Dead Fred. It had Phoebe Cates in it, which is why I know Phoebe Cates. And also because my mom's always talking about Phoebe Cates. And then the Kevin Kline thing
my mom
still blows
Kevin
my mind.
Kevin Kline was married to her, or is married to her. And then I'm like,
what?
on the roller coaster. What?
Liz Taylor gave birth to Judy Garland. What? Or opposite.
I can't.
Judy Garland gave birth to Liz Taylor. What?
I can't.
Anyway, that was my mom's ex-boyfriend. That's how he said instead of being like, oh, that's Judy Garland's daughter. You meant
Liza Minnelli.
What did I say?
Liz Taylor.
Liza Minnelli. Well, Liza Minnelli is an Arthur.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So I meant Liza Minnelli, not Liz Taylor, which their names, I always get them. They do have a... But then they've got the, like, dark hair.
They do. Eyelashes. Same kind of feel, same kind of vibe.
But he's like, oh, Judy Garland gave birth to her. And I was like...
And you're like, I'm sorry, what? Like, that you can't just glitch the Matrix like this. What a weird
way to say that.
Right? That is a weird way. I would have felt uncomfortable hearing that. I would have been like, I don't like that at all. Thank you. Anyway. But needless to say, it's just like, all that to say. Anyway, I'm going to show you the short story I wrote about the whole thing. Because now I'm like, it didn't have an imaginary friend thing, but like that whole concept. We'll
have
a day
because I have my scripts where I wrote like short film scripts that were similar. And they were all about people who were in love who couldn't be together. Tell me why.
Okay, that's
my relationship at the time.
Hold on. That's why. Stevie, that same creative writing class, all the ones I submitted, or everything abroad that I submitted was about people who couldn't be together. Who couldn't
be together. Why are we literally every
Hold
time?
Hold on, okay, we're gonna put together same. A zine. We're gonna put
we're
together,
gonna put together
a
and we're
thing,
gonna make a short film.
A collection, but also like a literal
book,
thing put together of ourselves. Is that how you say it?
A zine.
I think I said zine and I don't know if I've ever said it out loud.
For a magazine.
Because it's magazine. I literally in my head was like, say it like how you'd say magazine. Zine. And I said zine. Because I was like, yeah, that's how you say it, magazine. That's not how you say it. A zine. That's what I meant. We put together a zine. You read it.
Guys, stay tuned.
Listen. Anyways. Star-crossed lovers. Anyway. Yeah. But that whole thing, I don't know. That's like, it's again, you know, Bing Bong, obviously.
Which Mandy was like, he was your Bing Bong. We don't talk about Bing Bong.
I literally cannot. But it's always like, I don't know, imaginary friends. Put it in any type of fiction and I just am going to, we're going to ball.
I'm going to tell you about my imaginary. Now we're doing a tangent situation.
No. This is necessary. Tell me.
My friend Kiki and I, Kiki. Hello, if you're watching. I messaged her when we watched this because I was telling you guys, you told this heartfelt story.
Oh my gosh. Mandy and I were like, oh, sobbing.
And I was like, well, let me tell you about our experience. So I didn't have one like growing up. My grandpa, one time, I remember him being like, I remember you used to talk to imaginary friend. And I was like, when?
When did I know it's like, I don't remember you forget? When. Like, is that the point? Like imaginary friends can't be remembered. No,
because I'm like,
you know what I mean? Like not. Like
I would talk to myself,
but like
a lot.
Not,
maybe that's
me
what
too,
he thought.
But I would play like
me
with
too.
Myself and talk.
Maybe that's what. I don't
or
know.
Or like do this thing. I wouldn't even talk. I'd do like the talking without your mouth opening. Mm. You're like, like I would just talk like without my mouth opening. Yeah. But
so he would say that, and I was like, or he told me that once, and I was like, what? But when my friend Kiki and I were like, I swear we were too old to we had a joint. Imaginary friend situation, and it sounds creepy, and it's probably a horror movie. I feel like there's got to be a movie out there like this. But his name was Billy, which again, it's always someone named Billy, and
not all Billys, but
like
always
we were
a Billy.
Legit. Yeah, I think we were in elementary school. We might have been older, but I remember my brother was there one time too. One time. Yeah, so there's woods in the back. Stop. Of like our we lived in like a complex like apartments. And there were like wood somewhere. And I remember we would have like full on battles. I remember one time we legit were like, we were in the woods. And I just remember we were like going, had all these battles with this guy. This like, it's not a guy. It was an imaginary person.
Entity.
And honestly, who knows what it was? Could have been a spirit. But when I talked to Kiki the other day, she's like, do you think he's still out there? I'm like,
stop.
Probably.
You're like, we don't talk about
because
Billy.
We would have like whole like battles out there. And I remember one of us was like tied to a tree. Like, I don't remember what the hell was going on, but it was, and we had to like escape.
Pokey and I are like,
yeah, Pokey and you are like, let's
what's
play
going on?
With our Bobo. And
pacifiers.
You're like over there, like
with our Blorbo.
Bobo.
Bobo.
Do you guys call it that?
No.
That's what we call it.
I was literally like, Bobo. Are you trying to say Blorbo? Like,
no.
What is it? There's another word in Europe that they call it, right? Or am I thinking of the
Binky
pram?
Or whatever?
Yeah, Binky. Yeah. But also, I think people say that
pram.
Here too. Yeah.
Yeah, people say that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Billy was creepy. And
I don't love that
evil.
Story.
But
also,
it was me and my friends like joint
but felt
thing.
I feel
you
it.
Know?
I feel it though.
You anyway,
know what?
Who knows if he's still
Again,
out there.
The mind, the imagination. Like, honestly, what is the definition of an imaginary friend? It just takes imagination.
He was not my friend.
It does. Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's unpack
he
that.
He was the imaginary
Listen,
villain. Nemesis.
Now I
want to
write
if you won't.
Now I
want to
write
won't.
A love story.
If you won't. If you will.
If you will. If you will, I will. Because honestly, now I want to write a love story about an imaginary villain. Which is that not literally the relationship I have with every anime villain?
I was going to say.
That's not. We don't have time.
I was going to say, related to that, when we were talking about like imaginary friends who come to life and you're like with them. Is that not what we want?
That's all we have.
From our like from our anime men.
That's literally it.
That's all we have. Like, if they could just step into reality.
If I could just.
There goes gravity.
Boom. There goes gravity. Anyway. No, I don't. I actually can't think about that right now, or else I'm going to like faint. Like, I can't do that. That's. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Anyways. So that.
So yeah, that was a beautiful, we needed to get that out. We needed to get all that out. Because basically now we've seen this beautiful, beautiful like coming together. And it's so cute because you can tell that they like know what they're doing. Like Zoe, like he's like, oh my gosh, like that was your imaginary friend. And like, oh my, and like basically they're having this like beautiful heartfelt moment between the three of them. Mm-hmm. And then like basically
also, when I need to say that like I felt the whole time and you, right?
Yes, yes.
When I used to watch it as a kid and as an adult, I was like, Fran and Larry.
Tension.
The chemistry. Romantic tension.
Can cut through it.
The whole time.
Yeah, not just chemistry. They're great on-screen partners, yeah. But like you could tell that there's like...
We're like,
because I remember thinking, as we watched it again, I was like, wait, I can't even... Before we got into it, I was like, wait, I can't remember. Is he her imaginary friend? Is it like yeah, I like, was thinking is, like yeah. There's some kind of tension here because there is. And like they're basically like, she's all excited. Like Fran like opens up as soon as she realizes that Zoe was Zoe. Mm-hmm. And she's just like... Oh my gosh, like I can't wait to see y'all again. And like abruptly, they're just like, Zoe's like,
and also Darwin sees Larry now.
Oh, yes, so Darwin sees like, Larry. Oh, he hugs them, they reunite. Yeah. They get out of under the bed, yeah. Obviously. And like when I think it's like when they're leaving, I guess, because then abruptly they're just like, oh, you won't ever see us again, Fran. And it's like,
oh, yeah, and she's like, what? She's like, we can be friends just like before, which I want to throw up just thinking about the fact that she's like,
we can just go back to
Yeah, no, we're not sorry. And he's like, and there's, so sad for her because they're like
that's just the way it is.
You don't need us anymore.
Like you're not a kid anymore, yeah. And you don't it's sad that you like
because Larry said he was gonna be back, and she's like,
for Darwin, for Darwin. It's like she's like, you said you'll play with Darwin or whatever. And he's like, yeah, because Darwin is still. And it's that whole thing where they're like, it's not sad to grow up. Like that's the whole thing too. I think
they're literally like, no, this is exciting. Yeah, like you don't need us. This is exciting.
Like that's the point. Like it's we're glad that you realized that you did grow up too fast in that moment because that's what you needed to know. But like it's good because, and it almost ties in. Like this is even darker where it's like, it is good to grow up. That's what we want. Darwin having a childhood illness, the fear and like the sadness of thinking that you're also your childhood would end there. Mm-hmm. And he tells her that later. He's like, I'm still scared that I'll have it come back. Yeah. And it's just like this idea that they're like, it's a joy to know that you can grow up. And like, you should rejoice in that. There's nothing bad about growing up.
Yeah. Cause when he comes back later and she's like, oh, you're scared. Like, it's okay. Like come sleep in my bed. And he's like, yeah, but I'm not afraid. Like he was had been talking to Larry separately. And she's like, I'm not afraid of like the boogeyman or anything. I'm afraid of like
real life stuff. Yeah.
And like, also, it was cute because he's like
helping him through it. Like Larry's,
he's
talking.
Like, go talk to Fran because she'll know.
Yeah,
like
this is grown up. Yeah, this is stuff where like when you do have to talk about real life stuff, there are people
that's
in
what
your
Fran's
life.
There for.
Yeah, there's like your parents and your siblings and other people you trust that can help you ease into it as opposed to being like, this is the real world. You know?
Yeah,
and like, but it's so sad because they're like, you don't need us anymore. And she's like, but I. And then literally, I was like
Sarah
not
almost
ready.
Flew out of the seat.
I literally lost my mind. I did not remember this. He just waltzes right up to her, plants a big old smooch.
He kisses Fran, and it was beautiful.
Otherworldly. I genuinely and the fact that he's like, that's why you're like, because like, she immediately gets flushed and flushed.
He's like, you don't. He says something.
Something
to her.
Really good where it's like, you're like, that's why you don't need us anymore. Like basically because she's growing up and that's like she felt something when he kissed her.
I don't know if he said that, but she said to herself, maybe I am too old.
Yeah, like, that's what it was. Because like she's getting hot and
he's like,
oh my
Fran,
gosh.
Like when they're leaving and she's like, okay, yeah.
I'm like, girl, can you imagine getting smooched by an imaginary man and then just
and then they never come back.
That's messed up.
Again, that's us with our dream anime men. Me. Again,
started.
I had a dream about Gojo.
Listen.
It was beautiful.
When I
and now
read
what?
Fan you know? Fiction, I won't say the things, the fantasies. We don't need to get into that on this.
On this platform?
We don't need to get into that on this platform because...
But that was her moment.
It's literally that. It's literally whether it's a dream or you're awake. There's power. And it really sucks when they're not
when
real.
They're not real. We sound so sad.
We what?
Sounds so sad.
This literally sounds like we are Fran having experience. Like no, when people are like, wow, imagine
if
that's
only
like.
Only real people existed that we
stop,
could be
stop
with.
Stop this.
But no. They don't.
But the fact though that we feel, are they worthy? No. It's the fact though that Fran, like, it's like people are like, wow, what would it be like to experience that? We're over here like, no, that's our daily occurrence. I consistently am like, if only I could feel. No, we
can't. Why can't you be here? You know. Anyway, but that was that. And then we were like,
send you that Gojo, and then also that Dazai fic. I'm gonna send you some stuff. I just need to tell Stevie's gonna get some fanfic goods.
I'm gonna cry even more.
Anyway.
Than I already do.
Continue.
Sorry. Anyway, so, yeah. And there was also a really cute moment before that when, like, her parents come in.
Yeah,
and
they're just,
like,
good...
hanging out. And then they're, like, and...
They found out that stuff is happening in the town over.
Yeah, he's like, it wasn't... Them being like, it wasn't you.
Now we believe you.
It's happening everywhere.
Which, also, does that mean there's boogeyman stuff happening?
There's another boogeyman. That's so, like, interesting. Yeah, because... I'm sure kids grow up all the time without.
That's, like, so sad, though.
But like, but that's what Larry's like. So then he's like, the guy in my head said we gotta go. Like, yeah, I gotta go.
Oh, they're gonna go take care of the next town. That's what they're doing.
That's what Zoe's like. But it's nice because I'm gonna go with you.
Have a good. Which again, we're like, where's Bert?
Bert is. Yeah, he's not even there. They had a whole moment of like, of course, because he's like, will I see you again? Talking to Larry, but they can't see Larry, and they're like, of course you're gonna see her again. Like, she's never going to leave you, and I almost cried.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Because they're like, she'll always be here for you, and I'm like.
And, like, oh, yeah, because it's Darwin that's like, will I ever see you? And Larry's like, But also, like, I'll see you later. Bert giving up his bone marrow, I feel like he's a very significant part of this story, and we just don't see him again for the rest of the movie.
He's like, I did what I had to do.
It would have been cute if he was in the bed when, like, or comes into the room.
Yeah, where,
like,
they could all have a sibling moment.
It ends with them, like, that's when Darwin comes in the middle of the night to be like, I'm scared about this, and talking, and. We see that she's comforting him, and it would have been cute if Bert had just, like, kind of made his quick appearance.
Yeah,
even like if it's just dumb. Even if it's him walking doorway, by, yeah, being like, you guys are still up, like, or something sweet. And then we see that Larry and Zoe are there watching over them. And it zooms out, fades to black. Perfect.
And it made me perfect. Weep. It was so good.
Oh, my God. It was so good. Bro.
Like, if you didn't like this movie, we can't be friends. I don't think. Because there's so many things in this movie that are just like, just pull. Again, we talk about whimsy. It's got whimsy. It pulls at your heartstrings.
I love this place. It's whimsy.
It's whimsical and fun.
I can't.
But yeah, it's.
It's so good.
Yeah. And again, like we said, they had a reunion.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Like 2 years ago. I'm going to put it here.
Yeah.
It's going to.
We'll listen.
Listen. Prepare to be sick of us on
the, it's so because good. oh my gosh. Look.
Our whole social media is going to be a whole.
Just clips of this. Honestly, we're just going to put the movie up on TikTok. People will be like, hello. It's you know you want to watch it on there. Okay,
yeah.
First off.
Listen. Anyway.
It's great. It's great.
I love this movie. Mm-hmm. Now, dare we even rate it? Because I already know where it's going.
It's already in the Hall of Fame.
It's in the Hall of Fame. We're not even going
to
put anything
We don't
up,
even
right?
need to. We don't it's even need to dive in. It's in the Hall of Fame. It's literally the defining moment of our podcast. We've been leading up to this because this is the titular episode. Because it is what we're all about. It's literally
is it not what
encapsulates
us?
Yeah, literally it's like us talking about mental health, like childhood, growing up, imagination, spookiness.
It's everything.
The real horrors of the world.
They give you everything. They give you comedy. They give you heartfelt things. They give you horror.
I love this. I can't. And again, it's a real shame that they just stopped.
They give you romance. Guess what? It's on Disney Plus, guys. So go watch it.
I was not ready for that.
If this wasn't enough for you.
Go watch it.
If it was just the right enough for you, but you want more.
I've had just the right amount of you.
Yeah, just the right amount of you.
I can't.
Go watch
it. It's so good. Bless.
Anyway. It's in the Hall of Fame.
And I guess, do we have to do a spooky scale for it, though, too? I know we talked a lot about the spookiness of it.
I know. I feel like we keep not... The last few we've done, like, I know, we haven't even like rated them for that. We're like,
it's hard too because how do we view this? Through the child's eyes or through ours?
Yeah.
Because if it's through ours, there's no... It's not scary to us.
Yeah, and I guess this is like an
adult podcast. But I could see through the adult... I mean, through the child's eyes, seeing why I was scared, why they would be scared. It's hard.
I guess if... We'll say we won't put our like actual scale, but if you have a child that you want to watch it with, like, obviously
be wary that there are images that like aren't actually
might just
something
out.
Scary
if they're ones that
it's
are
one
more
thing where something's
out.
Creepy and then it actually is a bad thing, like this thing is killing things, like that would make me even more like hurt, like I'd be like, oh, I felt really bad about that, I didn't like it. But if it was something kind of creepy and then it ends up being what it was, which is just a boogeyman that's an imaginary friend, I think a kid is going to be okay with that, because I ended up, that's why I was like, oh, okay, everything's fine, just you have to finish the whole thing, don't let them just watch the first part.
It depends on if you were more of a kid like Sarah, who was like, okay, this is freaking me out, or like if you have a kid that's like
more into it, I like this
stuff and I'm not gonna be scared, just obviously keep
an eye. Think whether the content is actually upsetting really has a big difference, and it's just not,
because it's not gonna end, it's, you're not, like, are you serious?
Like the whole family has been massacred, like, no,
because you can think not back like that. To that being like, oh, but it was okay in the end,
it's like that wasn't actually a scary thing, the bad guy wasn't even an actual bad guy, so you see, it's good.
I guess the bad guy all along
was the friends we made along the way, literally.
The bad guy was the imaginary friends we made along the way.
It's perfect.
Okay, guys, thanks for being here. We're gonna do another decom for our next one, which is
Mom's gonna date with a vampire.
Mom's gonna date with a vampire.
My gate
with the president's daughter. That's not it, but I always think
Mom's
of that song.
Mom's got a date with the vampires. Nana. I can't.
My date with her. Her date
with him. With Mr. Sheffield.
Mr. Sheffield. Mr.
Sheffield.
Anyway, that's our teaser for our next episode. Beautiful. But guys, thanks for being here. If you could.
Love you.
We love you. Dust bunnies. Dust bunnies. Under the bed.
Dust bunnies under the bed with the dirty gym socks. Except, no, they're clean socks.
Yeah, it's clean under there. It's fine. But it's a little dusty. But yeah, if you could give us a 5-star rating, share with a friend, give us a review. If you're not watching on YouTube, do so. It's from Under the Bed podcast. And yeah. Give us, if you have any suggestions for, I'm like looking this way, and I'm like, if you have any suggestions for what you want us to cover, you can send us an email at fromunderthebedpodcast@gmail.com. Go to our website, fromunderthebedpodcast.com. Follow us on Insta for the memes and the lulls from Under the Bed. And our TikTok is fromunderthebedpod. And we're out there. We're on the internet. If you're not watching, again, come. See our lovely faces, see the memes, see the images that we've got on the screen.
Come watch our TikToks, watch our Instas.
We'll have our have links down below if you're like listening wherever you listen. Click.
You see.
And
Yay!
Thanks, guys.
We love you guys.
Thanks to all of our real friends and our imaginary friends out there.
That was beautiful.
Pokey,
you're a real one. I
know
love
you're
you.
Listening.
I love you.
Billy, get
Billy
the fuck
to
out
the
of
left.
Here. Pokey,
Pokey, come
to the
right.
Right.
Pokey to the right, come right on in.
Yeah.
Ugh, we love it. We love
okay.
it.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Mwah.
Mwah.
Ready? From under the bed. We should say something like, don't look under. I want to like say one more thing that's like a from under the bed.
And remember.
And so hold on. What can we say? And remember.
Don't look under the bed unless you're looking for us.
Yes. Don't look under. Okay, I'll say that. You say the other half. Don't look under the bed.
Unless you're looking for us.
Yeah, because we're here.
That's where we are.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Again.